Talk Live. It's talk radio that you control. And 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. That's 603-283-6160. You can call in with whatever is on your mind, whether that's what we're talking about or if you want to change the subject. It doesn't matter. It's up to you because it's Free Talk Live. And with you in the studio, you've got me.
At J Noon.
I'm not in the studio.
Sorry. and out of the studio, you've got...
It's me, Mark Edge, coming to you live from Florida.
And I actually just said me. I meant to say me, Bonnie. It's like, but I don't need an introduction, so... So, in news that's somewhat local to Jay and I today...
Mark just left the state.
Oh, yeah, you were here. But now you're in Florida.
I did. I did the Liberty Forum while I was up there. Came for my sponsor, Titus Gable, the founder of Free Private Cities Foundation.
So it is Titus. I kept hearing people say Titus, and I was like, is it not Titus?
Right. So it's complicated. He understands the value of the English name Titus, right? Like Titus sounds so powerful in English.
Right.
Naming your kid Titus is really something, right?
Yeah.
And understand that that is true in German too. It's just the way it's pronounced in German is Titus. And so I'm working on an audiobook for them. So I have to, you know, in certain circumstances, he particularly wants his name said Titus Gable, which is fair. In other circumstances, he's like, yeah, sure, let the Americans call me Titus if they want to. I know it sounds better there that way. So you can pick is really the answer.
Okay. Well, I didn't know he was like German or anything like that, or even that they said the name like that. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you. It's just that I kept hearing people say that. I'm like, can they not read, or is that really how he says it?
Well, after he bought me the VIP ticket, then the organizers of Liberty Forum asked me, remember, this is after I paid for my VIP ticket, to work the VIP dinner and auction off some things for the Free State Project. And I did so because... Of course, I care about the Free State Project, and I want them to do well. And I just like being in front of microphones and standing in front of rooms full of people. So, you know, no problem.
So do you have an auctioneer's chant that you practiced at all?
No, we didn't. It's not that kind of auction.
That's the kind of auction I'd make it.
Yeah.
Was it like a silent auction?
No, it was a poster board that Glenn Jacobs, the wrestler Kane from the WWE, he had signed this poster board.
And yeah, I met Kane.
They were going to auction it off, and they, you know, I mean, normal people think about things normally, right? You know, their first thought was, well, how much do we want to start the bidding at? How about $50? I said, how about $1,000?
Yep, that's correct. Yeah, you want to basically have the bidding like, you know, 3 to 5 times more than what the thing's actually worth to start.
Easily.
Yep.
Yeah. So we compromised. We started at $200 and worked our way up to $1,100. So I got my $1,000 and some, you know, good folks. The way they think about it, and I think that this is a fair way to think about it, because I talked to the winning bidders, husband and wife. She is the current president of the New Hampshire Liberty Alliance, Melissa Crane.
Oh, yeah. They're really nice people.
They really are. And what their thought was is, best case scenario, we help Liberty Forum get into the black. Worst case scenario, we pay the paychecks of a few very important and needed
organizers
of the Free State Project generally. So there's two paid employees, Chris and Eric. And they do, you know, of course, different things. But, you know, both, they're necessary. They, you know, they need to be paid.
Oh, Chris is super necessary.
Who is Chris? I know Eric Brakey is the president now, right?
Yep. Chris is the lady in the wheelchair.
Yes. So, So Chris, she is like, so first off, she's a very good friend of mine, has been for, I don't know, 10 years, I guess, you know, and she's just like, you got a question? I send her a text message within minutes. She gets right back to me, generally has the right answer. Well, it doesn't have the answer, but half the time she has the answer, and the other half the time she sends me the name and contact information of who has the answer. So she is invaluable.
Yeah.
And I very much appreciate her service.
She always sets up people's move-in parties.
Yep.
And she does the FSP calendar. And I remember one time I just texted her like, oh, maybe she knows. I asked her what number FSP signer or mover I was. And she got that information to me back really quickly.
Yep.
I was like, whoa, I didn't even.
She's real good at all that stuff. Provides a tremendous amount of value. And I often use her as an example of, so she's someone, she's in a wheelchair. Her legs don't work. And she gets more done than most people that have fully functioning bodies.
Yeah.
You know, she is gets a lot of things done and is very valuable and productive.
It's funny because the two people that are in the Free State Project that I know that are actually disabled, her and Riley, our Wednesday host, are not on welfare. It's like, what are the regular welfare people's actual excuses?
And I actually know a whole bunch of people just in general that aren't on welfare that are technically would be eligible for like disability,
mm-hmm.
and they have a pride thing. They're like, no, I'm not. I don't need welfare. I can still do a job, especially today. I mean, you know, with all the computer work and online work, and you know, like a guy like Riley's. He's a really good example of someone who he's just motivated to be productive
yeah.
and useful. And I believe when you get into this, like, scenario of being on Social Security disability or welfare that you have less of a incentive to be productive and useful, and you just have more of incentive to just kind of like try not to spend money, I guess, and live frugally, because that's what a lot of the people on disability are doing.
Yeah, Riley had said that if he wanted to be on welfare, well, he couldn't because he has a savings account. So it's like, oh, sorry, I'm too productive. I've made too much money, so no help for that disabled person.
You know, I always wonder myself is that if, you know, Riley, for instance, or Chris can make it without being on disability, then what's the excuse of those that are? And I think that, you know, I don't know everybody's circumstances, but if when it comes to disability, if we removed everybody who truly can't work, we removed everybody who can work from the list, I think we would have a significantly lower amount of people who are on disability. And here's my proof. When the economy is down, disability goes up. So somehow during a good economy, people who can get disability somehow are working. Now, you know, anything more than that, I don't know.
You wouldn't believe how many people I do know that are on disability that work some like really good side hustles, that like work construction, they work landscaping, they work farming, they work I know one guy who's an accountant, and he's on disability, but he just works for cash, or he works for Amazon cards. So you know, nothing essentially, you know, shows up. And I also worked almost every farmer I know, quite literally every farmer I know has somebody who works for them that is disabled and just works part-time for the farmer for some pocket cash. Like one of the farms I worked with out west, like during harvest season, like literally everybody driving like a semi truck or a manure spreader truck was collecting disability, but they're all good drivers and they could drive and they could do this work. They just had like, you know, one guy had a heart condition, another guy had, I don't know, I remember what his deal was, but like they were like older guys that had disability, but you know, their disability was really, they just wanted that paycheck and they were sort of like, you know, they were Republican welfare recipients is what they really were.
But other types of people that can get jobs at farms are 3-year-olds and 5-year-olds and stuff. I was laughing during your Alt Expo, which is something that goes on during Liberty Forum for those who don't want to buy a ticket and are more interested in how to escape the government type speeches. Well, Jay did a speech there about Man Camp and his farm, and I was just laughing because I was like, yay, go child labor. There we go.
Well, so my presentation I did at Alt Expo was the same exact presentation I did at Anarchapulco. It was how not to F up your kids. And how not to F up your kids freedom begins with confidence. So, basically what I did in that presentation was, you know, explain like the dangers of internet devices, public schools, the fact that your six-year-old has your pre-six-year-old child is basically like an open source, unprogrammed piece of, you know, hardware, like a brand new computer that has no apps on it, no nothing. And whoever has access to it can program this, you know, this little brain. So we want to make sure that we don't have, you know, the big food industry programming the brain with all its poisons and sugars and seed oils. We want to make sure that we don't have
any brain damage.
Big tech programming the brain with, you know, all of the internet devices, you know, controlling and mesmerizing and rewiring the brain of the of these, you know, young children. We want to make sure we keep them out of public schools so these woke left, you know, radical extremists that are all part of this, you know, government, you know, child protective service and, you know, academics culture don't, you know, poison and rot in their brains. And we want to put them to work because they love to work. The solutions is putting kids to work. You know, 3 and 5 year olds. And when you put a 3-year-old to work on your farm, it is way more work for you as the adult.
Oh, that makes less sense.
So
yeah.
like those videos and clips that I showed of basically my homeschool man camp program last summer was, you know, me, you know, dealing with, you know, meat birds, pigs and cows and all the things you got to do to support those animals, such as bring them food, bring them water, remove their poop, examine their poop. You know, there's all kinds of things you got to do. And then, of course, you know, when it comes time to harvest them, so we butchered all the meat birds.
Oh, yeah.
And I had 3, 4, and 5-year-old kids pulling guts out of meat birds with their moms by their side.
It's like, if I would have done that at 2 years old, maybe I could do it, but I couldn't do it now.
Yeah, I bet you can.
I don't want to, at least.
Yeah,
I did it the first time as an adult. You know, I mean,
so and
your grandmother sure did.
Right. So it gives you a whole lot more respect for food.
Yeah,
that I think the animals that you harvest yourself do taste better. I'll tell you, I have not bit into a piece of chicken that I've enjoyed anywhere since I've been raising my own birds and my own, you know, chickens. But anyways, the solutions are, you know, if you don't want your kids to be messed up, don't let any outside influences that are anti-family, that are anti, you know, basically American culture, you know, get a hold of them. So, and because you have, as the parent, you have the ability to, you know, totally censor what your kids, you know, eat, drink, see, listen to, and they should, and also who they're around. Like, you know, so your company should be like good, decent people, you know, not poor quality, poor character people. And so I've really kind of built this community of people around me some people I've had to ask them to leave, and I've invited a bunch of real good people into our little community, our homeschool co-op, and it's really awesome. And little kids are so thirsty, especially kids that are like living in, you know, the suburbs where they don't have any animals, or they're living in a townhouse or a condo in the city, or just on the outskirts of a city, are so thirsty for farm work and dealing with chickens and dealing with pigs and dealing with cows. And it takes a lot more effort. It takes actually me probably 3 to 5 times longer to get the actual animal chores done with the kids than if I just do it by myself. But I can tell you, like, some of the older kids that are 6 and 7 years old, they can just go do about 90% of the chores. In fact, my daughter, who's 4 now, she can totally collect all the eggs all by herself. She can open up the chicken coop. She can get in there. She can get it done. She can open up the barrel with the chicken feed in it, totally feed the chickens by herself. When we have pigs, she could we're getting pigs again in about 2 weeks. And she, when we last had the pigs in the fall, she was feeding the pigs by herself, getting access to the feed. She can go over and turn the hose on at the house, turn the water faucet on, go over to the pigs, give the pigs water, give the chickens water, all that things. And she loves doing it.
And she remembers to turn the hose off.
Yes.
Go ahead, Mark.
I'm wondering what a spring pig costs right now.
You know, I can tell you the market report as when I was, so I was at your house a few weeks ago, Mark. And as I was flying home, I was looking at the market report, and anybody can look this up if you want to pay attention. Go New Holland, Pennsylvania market report, and you're going to find a market report for calves. So I'm talking about beef. I'm talking about cows, baby calves. Day-old calves about 3 weeks ago on the market report were bringing $1,000 a head for day-old calves. That they've been alive for one day. And these are the ones that they say beef next to them. So they're generally like a half Angus, or they're like a usually a half Holstein, because what they're doing is they're, you know, like the calves that are coming through the market, they're coming out of dairy operations, because to make a cow make milk, you got to breed it, and then it has a calf. And then the bull calves, they don't want, so they send them to auction. I talked to my stepfather in Colorado the other day. He told me day-old Holstein bull calves are bringing $750 a head. That's $750 a head. These calves weigh about 80 to like 110 pounds. And they're showing up at the farm and paying $750 a head for these calves. There is a major, major, major cattle shortage in this country. The actual a report I heard a couple days ago from this guy, Popular Preparedness, on YouTube, he had stated that we have the least amount of cattle on inventory in the United States of America that we've had in the past 72 years. And the population 72 years ago was way less than it is right now. So there is a war on meat, because meat, beef especially, beef is such a good, healthy, nutritiously dense food. And your mic is a little loud there. And the thing is, so the calves are stupid. The money for calves, like in 2019, for example, these bull calves at auction that would look like a half Angus, half Holstein, you know, they were bringing like $200 on the high end side. And they were basically like the straight up Holstein bull calves, day old Holstein bull calves, were like $32, $28 at these auctions.
That's crazy. It seems like I honestly would have thought they'd be way more expensive.
Well, there wasn't much of a market back then, but now because the cattle inventory is so low, they're expensive. Pigs, on the other hand, pigs are still relatively cheap. They're cheaper to buy at auction. I don't know what a market hog's worth right now. I could actually look it up real quick. But
I hope you keep buying lamb, because that's currently my favorite meat and really all I want to eat anymore.
Oh, that's good to know. Yeah, so I've been buying lamb actually off of, I just buy them raised off of a very good friend of mine. The woman's in her 70s.
And it's delicious.
And she's just back down to basically just raising lambs now and chickens, because she's just too old to be dealing with cows.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So, and you know, the lambs and stuff, and they're pretty much hands off, and she's got a good system. And
I just look up like a Mediterranean recipe that it always calls for, like, oh, I can't remember off the top of my head right now, like allspice and ginger and stuff like that. And oh my God, nothing tastes better than that on lamb. I've just been eating that constantly recently. I think I'm gonna stop eating pork, and I'm just gonna eat like cow and lamb, because it's least likely to turn into like PUFA in the body, like if they were fed corn and stuff like that. That's
turned into
polyunsaturated fatty acids.
So my pigs are not fed. We're not fed any corn. They were mostly, now they were a little bit in the spring.
Oh, okay,
but they were basically finished on eggs from an organic chicken eggs from an organic egg farm. The guy he raises 20,000 egg birds and basically produces about a 5 gallon bucket day of discolored, disfigured, cracked, oversized, undersized eggs. So I fed them to the pigs.
Well, is this the really famous one in New Hampshire with the
Pete and Jerry's?
Yeah, I got some of theirs recently, and I got such a giant egg. I cracked a regular looking one next to it, and it was like, you could tell that the yolk was like at least 50% smaller than that one.
Yeah, so one thing that's nice about Pete and Jerry's is like they it's just like family farms that are, you know, raising this. Like this guy who's got these 20,000 eggs, he's 20,000 hens, he operates himself. He's like in his mid 60s, and he's got a couple of sons, and he's got, I think, 7 or 8 grandchildren. And he also he's a farmer. He makes a bunch of hay. He does all kinds of stuff. But him and his grandkids kind of run that egg farm together. And so he gives me his eggs. So I was able to literally feed my 3 pigs. I just did 3 pigs. A half a 5 gallon bucket of eggs almost every day. And then for the last 3 months of their life, they basically got a one full 5 gallon bucket of eggs. They almost didn't even eat it all. They kind of started wasting it a little bit because I was feeding them so much.
That's nice too, because a lot of people see like vegetarian fed on their meat and they think that's a good thing. That just means that the pig you're eating was fed a bunch of soy, and pigs are not vegetarians. So why would that be healthy to eat? It's the same thing with chickens too, apparently, that people think they're not right. Carnivores. Well, both.
Right, they are. Actually, omnivores. Yeah, pigs and chickens are omnivores and scavengers. They will eat anything. So I feed all my the grain I feed all my livestock is some really awesome feed that actually Neil Smith of Bardo Farm has been sourcing. He's been working at this for like 7 years to put this deal together, and he's been crushing it for a couple of years now.
Nice.
Doing really good. So we're basically getting a bunch of feed that destination is for breweries, upscale hipster breweries. So like pretty much most of this feed is barley, oats, rye, from Europe.
Just so much better than corn.
Well, and it's and the stuff, like it says right on the bag and on the website, they don't use any herbicides. They don't use any Roundup. Most of it is meets or exceeds multiple organic certifications. And we do a good job with that feed. It doesn't fatten the animals up like corn does. Like all the guys who I talk to are still sort of stuck in this like Monsanto mindset of corn and soy. They're like, oh man, what do you mean it takes you 14 months to raise a pig to market hog? I do it in 6.5 months, and I feed them tons of corn and soy. I'm like, I don't feed any corn and soy.
One thing that the bad people at Tyson, maybe it wasn't Tyson exactly, but like the farm pigs were trying in the 80s, was to destroy their thyroids, the pig's thyroids, so that way they got really, really fat, and that turned out to be considered unethical. So that's why they turned to soy, because soy will destroy your thyroid too, and that's how they get so fat, and that's can't be healthy. That's like really gross Frankenstein unethical thing to do to the pigs that people are eating. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. More coming up.
This hour of Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Dash is the cryptocurrency designed to be used for spending. In addition to being one of the world's first cryptocurrencies, Dash was the first crypto project to have a decentralized autonomous organization that to this day continues to improve and promote Dash. Every month, 10% of the mining rewards go into a treasury. Anyone with one Dash to spend can put forward a proposal to the Dash masternodes. The masternodes vet the proposals and decide which ones move forward and are funded by that treasury. Nowadays, DAOs are plentiful, but Dash paved the way by doing it first, nearly a decade ago. Dash is one of the oldest cryptocurrencies and is widely available on exchanges, including the decentralized Maya protocol, and in multi-crypto wallets. It's easy to get and use Dash. Start by learning more at Dash.org. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month to promote Dash on the air. Visit Dash.org to learn about Dash. Dash.org.
And 603-283-6160 is that phone number that you can call and bring up whatever is on your mind. 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by Dash Digital Cash. Tired of the ever-inflating U.S. dollar? You can live your life on Dash with bitrefill.com, where you can buy gift cards from big retailers, including grocers, gas stations, phone refills, Amazon, and even prepaid MasterCards. Thanks to the Dash DAO for sending us 32 Dash per month for this sponsorship. It's easy to get and use Dash. You can learn more at Dash.org. That's Dash.org. And with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay Noon.
And Mark Edge.
And we were talking in the last segment about this weekend we all went to an event called Liberty Forum here in New Hampshire, hosted by the Free State Project. And Mark, I don't know if you got to finish that story. I'm just wondering, You got the $1,100 for the... It was basically just like a yard sign that said something and Glenn Jacobs signed it. Kane from the WWE signed it.
Yep.
Was that enough to cover the salaries you were going for?
Well, I found out later that I misunderstood the briefing and that we had already been in the black. So... the Liberty Forum made money for the Free State Project is
nice.
The short answer. I also, we had to sell the centerpieces and, auction the centerpieces and things
like
that.
Oh, yeah, so Bill Domenico.
So we got $2,000.
Nice. So Bill Domenico, he is a Free Stater that does laser cutting thing. Like he does, I don't know if it's laser, but.
Yes, it's laser and he has a couple CNC laser machines. He has the laser light things that he sets up at places. You see him at Pork Fest.
Yeah.
And
does he use laser to cut
yes.
the wood too?
Yep.
Oh, nice.
Yep. Same technology. Actually, I just saw a video of a laser set up on a tripod, and they're cutting trees down with it, like literally limbing
Whoa.
Trees 200 foot away.
That's awesome.
Yeah, and they're just limbing trees with this laser. And also they're using it to start fires on, you know, places where they want to burn up too, probably from, you know, drones or, you know, outer space, you know, the direct energy weapons. But,
yeah, where they start wildfires.
So what Bill D does is he makes this, I think it's called Liberty Loft Art, and he makes these things out of MDF board. MDF board is a multiple layer, like very thin plywood that's sanded on both sides. And he makes all kinds of cool things, lanterns, and I didn't see the centerpieces, but he
oh,
does
really?
Beautiful pieces.
There were these things that were like big rectangular, like they're candle holders. So
yeah, so they're lanterns, basically. Yep.
Yeah, and it had a beautiful design cut with, I guess, laser, like
yep.
you're saying, all of the sides. So if you put a candle in there, it would have been so pretty. It had like pine trees and maybe a porcupine.
Yep. And bear and deer, and it's different when you turn it because I've seen it, they're on display at the silver showroom,
oh,
the
nice.
Local Silver Mint showroom, and usually what he does is he puts a little LED candle in there, and they look really nice. In fact, I got one of them in my house.
Nice, yeah. I thought that was such a cool thing. So that's another thing that Mark auctioned off. But we do have callers on the line, so I'm going to go to them before we continue on here. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Going once, going twice.
Are you there? I don't have you muted or anything this time. So, well, it looks like we have Skeeter on the line with us from California. Skeeter, what's on your mind?
Oh, you know, what are you guys doing? Why are ANCRAPs always trying to undo the good accelerationist work your boy, the evolutionary capitalist, is doing out here in California?
I don't think you work,
have
you
do you?
Have
you ever heard... That's not relevant.
Do you work?
Have
oh,
you
no, it's very relevant. You just
Tinder?
Said that you're doing work and we're not. So what kind of work do you do, Skeeter?
I'm talking about pushing the accelerationist movement. Have you ever guys heard of unintended consequences? Has it ever once occurred to you guys that the parasites are the cure to the disease of democracy? Just get a small taste of the effectiveness of accelerationists here in California. Your boy created a $73 billion deficit.
You didn't create
to the
anything.
Point we're about to close. To the point we're about to close three California prisons. That's what we're considering. No one has done more to free victimless criminals other than me, who put them in prison in the first place.
What did you
Thanks,
do?
Skeeter.
How many victimless criminals has libertarianism freed? Huh?
Have you? How did you get this to happen? So if you're not going to answer my questions, I'm going to hang up on you. But how did you get this to happen?
I voted for Gavin Newsom.
Oh,
I
you
voted.
Voted
for the most communist. I voted for the most communist and spend-happy representatives here in California.
And overall, would you say that more good has been done than all of the terrible things that have been done in California? Because I would say even if California closes three prisons, the overall, the oppression and... the bad stuff for freedom that has gone on in California for, you know, however long you've been alive is worse than closing three prisons.
And it's not like they're letting out.
Imagine if Ian was in one of those prisons, Bonnie.
Well, they wouldn't let him out because...
What would I have done for him?
You did nothing. Can you, like, please shut up and let Jay talk? You're so stupid.
So it's not like they're going to let tax protesters out. They're not going to let, you know... So they're only letting out people who are with the narrative. So they're letting out the pedophiles... A lot of these pedophiles are actually getting signed up with Child Protective Services in California. There was a huge deal about this a while ago. Over 1,000 known pedophiles are working for Child Protective Services in California.
Whoa.
And they're letting out the shoplifters. They made it so that, like, basically... If you're shoplifting.
I can't believe that, Jay. I mean, is there some kind of... I mean, I'd love to be able to look that up.
I'll look into that. I've studied this story, and I will
I know during COVID, they were letting a bunch of people out that actually did have victims as well. The other thing is they're just making it not illegal to shoplift in California anymore. Right. So there's that. Gigi in South Carolina. Gigi, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Bonnie. Mrs. Freeman, it's so wonderful to hear your voice.
Oh, it's wonderful to hear from you, Gigi.
I haven't called in weeks and weeks and weeks. I was out with a bad, bad COVID, but God bless your husband. He should only stay well and safe. He always writes me diligently, and his letters are so wonderful. And, of course, my husband and I reply.
Aw, I appreciate that you write to him and keep him updated.
Two things, please. Mm-hmm. And this is also for the benefit of anyone listening to Free Talk Live who values the program's format as my husband and I have always and continue to do. We received some information from Ian that was extremely distressing to both my husband and I. My husband is a practicing licensed attorney in the state of South Carolina. I am not. However, we are extremely concerned, and this applies to anyone listening who knows, has a friend or a relative in a county, state, or federal facility, maximum or minimum. Ian wrote us that there was a COVID outbreak on his block, mm-hmm. and as a result, food is being delivered in styrofoam containers with a, and I'm quoting from his letter, bare minimal insufficient amount three times a day. Additionally, not being permitted to get out for fresh air and exercise. Now, an argument can be made on the other side of the coin, just to play devil's advocate, from the warden or the Department of Prisons, that it's a safety issue because it's highly contagious. But mm-hmm. my husband was ranting and raving when we read Ian's letter, and Jeffrey said, you must call and make this aware that a constitutional right can be argued on behalf of Ian. More food is mandatory. He is a grown man, and he needs to be let out. Otherwise, it is the same as solitary confinement. These are constitutional violations. Please take heart, anyone who is listening.
Thank you so much, Gigi. It really does seem like all of the things that they implement, the restrictions they implement every time somebody gets a freaking cold or feel completely fine, but technically test positive for COVID, are do nothing but harm the people in general, because exercise is obviously always going to be good for you.
More limitations on them, right?
Yeah,
exactly. That's exactly correct. And one last thing, please permit me. We've been listening to the court's rulings on the crooked SOB police officers out of Mississippi. I can't wait till they go to prison, state prison.
What's going on there?
Placed in the general population. Wait till the African American inmates get a hold of them. Then there will be equitable justice.
What's happening there? I hadn't heard anything about...
Oh, it's been all over NPR, the BBC, local news, that for almost 25, maybe 30 years, there was an illegal, quiet, hush-hush organization amongst state police officers in Mississippi that were quite similar in their agenda, mm-hmm. under the cover, so to speak, targeting men, particularly of color. And there were two African-American men that were so beaten, and one was shot in the mouth. Mm. He can no longer walk or talk and has cognitive disabilities. And one of them was also sexually tortured by several white state Mississippi police officers. And the ruling came out 2 days ago from the judge as well as the jury. Not only were the police officers found guilty, but they were each sentenced to a minimum of 25 years for federal civil rights violations.
Wow.
I mean, it just goes to show you the KKK lives on, baby.
Wow, that is absolutely terrible. I hadn't heard any of that. Yesterday, Lori brought in some show prep we never got to, that there was a cop in Mississippi that had a prisoner lick urine off of the floor. Is that the same thing?
That was part of it. Yes, ma'am.
It's terrible. Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. So it's very interesting. You never know who your neighbor is, right?
Yeah, that's true. Thank you so much for the call,
please,
Gigi.
Please take note of those issues pertaining to Ian.
I did want to tell you, actually, that the trays are back to normal, so he's very happy with that. They were, for a couple or few weeks, they were giving them food on these styrofoam trays that didn't hold
so
as much.
So he's getting ample food and nutrition now?
Yes, and that's, that's a really
nice
thing.
That's very important, not just for Ian, but for all the men.
I agree. It's crazy that they were just restricting food. What were you saying there, Mark?
That's his favorite thing about jail is the free food.
Yeah, he loves jail food. I don't know why. Actually, it's crazy. And thank you for the call, Gigi. We really appreciate you calling. Gigi loves to express herself and use her freedom of speech rights. And we really love that she loves that about Free Talk Live. And one thing that's really cool that I just want to tell this story about Ian is I think that he manifested something while in jail today, and it's really cool. So just yesterday, he was telling me, oh, we never get fresh food here in jail. Or sorry, I meant to say fresh fruit here in jail. And Ian loves fruit. He's from Florida, so he eats oranges like a monkey and eats the outside parts of kiwis and eats blueberries all day until he goes to sleep. And normally, you know, when he's outside of jail, but they don't give you any fresh fruit. You can't just order it, even like an apple off of the commissary either. You can only order a bunch
candy of candy bars and potato chips.
Yeah. And one time a guy he knows in there who's been in there for years, he sent a message to the kitchen and asked them, like, why aren't there any fresh fruit? Like, fresh fruit is part of a balanced diet. And they said, oh, well, the drink packets of flavoring that we give you count. And that's ridiculous. It's aspartame and flavoring. That's like saying Diet Coke is your fresh fruit part of your diet. But anyways, yesterday Ian was saying, I really wish that we got fruit in here. I mostly want blueberries and mangoes, but I would even take oranges. And then this morning at breakfast, he got a sliced orange. Everybody got sliced orange on their trays. And when he called me, he's like, Bonnie, you won't believe it. I got oranges on my tray today. And he asked the guy who's been in there for years, like, when was the last time this happened? And the guy said, it's never, ever happened. There's never been any fresh fruit ever. And I really don't think that they're just listening to our conversations and deciding, like, you know what, I'm going to give Ian fruit. I think that he just manifested it. And it's really cool. He's really good at that stuff.
I'm glad they got fruit.
And, so I really appreciate Gigi worrying about that, but luckily it's back to normal now. It's just kind of like every time COVID is getting tested for in jails, all they do is restrict the prisoner's freedom even more, and it doesn't make anyone healthier. It's really stupid. It's just excuses. We have another caller in the line. Unscreened caller, you're on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Please don't disconnect me.
Oh.
I know we're only allowed one call per night.
It's
but
okay.
This is very important, and I won't abuse the privilege ever again. I give my word.
Okay.
There is someone who is responsible for the fresh oranges to the inmates as a result of me being a Jewish mother and getting that letter. Please take note.
You called them and got the oranges?
No, not a phone call.
What did you do?
Remember, millions of people are listening tonight. I cannot take legal responsibility, but someone very, very, very dear and close to me, who is a real professional legal person in South Carolina, attended to this. Please don't ask.
Oh, that's really cool. I'm glad to hear that.
I responded like a Jewish mother. And then I turned to someone that I trust legally and professionally to take action in writing on proper letterhead. Please know that.
Oh, that's really, really cool.
This will happen again.
Gigi,
you know
that's
why
so
it doesn't
awesome.
Happen on a daily basis?
Why?
Money.
Yeah. They are going to use any excuse to feed them the cheapest crap that they possibly can.
But there are some people who do take notice and sit up and are proactive. I hope the captain hears this program tonight and pays attention, because there are two people in South Carolina who do.
Aw, thanks so much,
legally,
Gigi.
And pen pal-wise.
Aw, that's really nice, yeah.
And I promise I will never abuse a second call.
Okay, thanks, Gigi, for not abusing the second call. Yeah, a lot of the times, Captain and every host on this show can sometimes get a little bit, what the internet calls black-pilled, and what's the word? What's the normal people word for that? Disappointed and disheartened,
jaded,
yeah, about the world. But it's nice to know that there are people that actually do care about people's liberty and just about people in general. Thank you so much, Gigi, for the call. Another unscreened caller on Free Talk Live. What's on your mind?
Hey, here's caller, you paying attention?
Yeah, I hear some movement, but I'm not sure. Are you there, caller? Oh, it sounds like you're not there. So let's just move on with the stuff we were talking about anyways. So, Jay, did you have something else you wanted to say when we were talking farming?
So there's a few things I wanted to say. First off, Gigi had mentioned that Ian needs to get out of there. Yes, Ian does need to get out of there. The court that brought him to trial is not a court of record. Hmm. It is not a court of record as defined by Black's Law, 4th edition. A court of record has many elements to it, and one being common law, another one being a victim, and another element being that the judge is impartial. So these judges aren't impartial. They are paid by the U.S. government. They are paid by pension. They have pension funds.
Also, I really have a problem, a real problem, with prosecutors becoming judges. And this seems to be the path. The
massive
vast majority
of
judges are prosecutors, former prosecutors. And like that particular path, that's fine if you want to go be the attorney general of a state or something to that effect. But a judge, that should be barred, in my opinion, from people who,
he's immediately, going to be siding towards the people who are doing the job that he always did his whole life.
Let's look at prosecutors and judges. They are both members of this organization called the Bar Association, which is a British Admiralty organization. It is a title of nobility from the English crown to be in the Bar Association. The Bar Association is, I call it the British Agricultural Revolution, where the lawyer, the bar members are the farmers, and the people are essentially the livestock that they keep on milking. The purpose of bar attorneys, and there are non-attorney, there are non-bar attorneys out there.
Not very many, but there are some.
There are some. We have, was it Brandon Jarvis? He's a non-bar attorney. And technically, it's really easy to do in New Hampshire to be an attorney, in fact. And any other
thing...
And
that's a non-bar attorney, an attorney in fact?
Right, yes. An attorney in fact is basically your assistant of counsel as described by Article 6 of the Bill of Rights. And another thing is the original 13th Amendment, which is on display in Texas still, from what I understand, at the Capitol building there, or the State House. The original 13th Amendment barred people with titles of nobilities, so all of these esquires, from being involved in government. You couldn't be elected or appointed to a government position if you have a title of nobility. That has, by way of history, been sort of scrubbed away and hidden and not talked about, and everybody thinks it's, you know, some kind of conspiracy theory, this 13th Amendment that bars attorneys from being in government. Well, we don't have governments. I could tell you that the U.S. District Court of Concord, or whatever they call it, is not of New Hampshire, is not a government. It's not a judicial branch of government. It's an administrative tribunal, just like circuit court, just like Superior Court in New Hampshire, just like every family court in every state of the union. They are all administrative tribunals. They are without due process of law, and they are all operating essentially either on the presumption that the people are consenting to their jurisdiction, which most people never challenge the jurisdiction. From what I understand, the bar maggot that Ian hired never challenged jurisdiction because
no, he didn't.
Bar maggots cannot charge.
Out.
Right.
Yeah.
They cannot challenge jurisdiction of the court. So they're compromised. So the prosecutors, your defense attorney, and the judge are all in the same employees union called the bar association. It's basically just an employees union to keep these scumbags calling themselves lawyers and attorneys working, and they work against the people. There's an old saying, if there's one attorney in town, he doesn't make too much money, but when there's two attorneys in town, they both make a tremendous amount of money because they engage in controversy against each other. So these guys,
and then they're like shaking hands and laughing together
absolutely
outside of the actual, it's not not even outside of the courtroom. It's in the courtroom with everybody involved.
Yep.
But as soon as the timer ticks on, they act like they're not on the same team. And it's freaking crazy. The other thing that like would shock people who've never gone through the court system is like all of the, all right, it's time for the judge, the prosecution, and the defense attorney to go behind the door, go back in a room by themselves and have a private little conversation a million times during the proceedings. And then they come out, you know, laughing together and like smiling. And then they've come to a conclusion. They've come to an agreement. And half the time it makes no freaking sense. Like you would think like, oh, well, that's not the agreement that the defense's side would want. And it always ends up that way. Like, oh yeah, so Sisti agreed for you, Ian, that you're going to have the trial a few days before Christmas. That's just so much better, right? It's fine. They all came to an agreement and the little back door thing, and that's fine. And he's smiling, and it's like, okay, I knew you were going to go to prison that day that happened. 603-283-6160. It's Free Talk Live. You can call in about whatever's on your mind. 603-283-6160.
The Shire Free Church offers a sanctuary to those seeking an escape from state churches.
The Shire Free Church is an interfaith, diverse group of people that may not share identical theological beliefs.
As a member in or minister of the Shire Free Church, you are a sovereign individual and may be the faith of your choice.
We don't claim to have all of the answers.
We are open to all peaceful people.
We want to learn from each other.
What unifies the Shire Free Church and its diverse members is peace,
love,
and liberty. There are many paths to God, one for every individual.
The Shire Free Church does not define a specific path beyond these parameters that must be your foundation.
Peace as your way.
Love as your guide.
And liberty as your light.
Learn more at church.shiresociety.com.
That's church.shiresociety.com.
Free Talk Live.
that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us here at Free Talk Live. That is 603-283-6160. And I would like to thank Jack, who's a gold level amplifier with us here at Free Talk Live. That means that Jack is contributing at least $10 a month to the AMPS program. And thank you so much, Jack, for doing that. That means that he's helping to advertise, market, promote, and support Free Talk Live. And if you'd like to join him, if you'd like to learn more about it, you can go to amps.freetalklive.com. That's amps.freetalklive.com and find out what kind of benefits you get for being an amplifier. So thank you so much to Jack. We really appreciate it here. And on the show with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And one subject you actually brought in to talk about tonight, Mark, is that the New Hampshire House, the House of Representatives in New Hampshire, has voted to ban trans girls from girls' sports teams.
So by trans girl, you mean actual dudes, right? Like, so they have testicles and a penis when they were born?
Yeah, biological males that have transitioned into girls.
So if you do, like, DNA sample of their body tissue or their blood or, you know, the cells from the inside of the cheek, it's going to show up as whatever, you know, says it's a
XY.
A man?
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yes, yeah, so like, if we're just to get us all on the same page, this is the thing that people are upset about. These people, they're born male, assigned male at birth, whatever you want to call it, and then transitioned, and they're only in high school, or at least, like, they're in public school, so I assume.
High school or middle school.
Oh, okay.
So they're without a womb, but claiming to be a womb man, because a woman is a man with a womb. Hence the etymology of the word woman comes from
womb. I looked that up once, and I don't know that the etymology is a man with a womb. I looked it up once, but nonetheless.
Is it from man?
Yeah, I believe. Let's just look it up.
For some reason, I've always just guessed that the W-O means from. Not that I actually know of any, like, prefix that is that. It's just that I maybe am influenced from, like, the Bible, because in the Bible, God took a rib from man and made woman out of that. And then he says, I call her woman because she comes from man. Something like that.
It apparently is a compound of wife man.
You guys have a bunch of wife mans.
Well, anyways, I always say, you know, a woman is just a man with a womb. So the thing is you have these wombless people claiming to be girls, and, you know, and they are, you know, all of the mammals that have testicles have much more testosterone and have much more dense bones, much bigger bones. The muscle is much denser. I mean, they are...
And they're much more dangerous.
They're much stronger. They can run faster because their bones are longer. They can swim faster because their bones are longer. So they have
bigger
paddles.
Yeah, like, just taking some estrogen definitely does not change your bone structure, at least unless you started it from way before puberty. And even then, it doesn't completely change your bone structure. Like, you can look up Kim Petras. She started pre-puberty. She's a pop star, and I really like her, and I met her in real life, and she was so sweet. And she was, like, famous. She was, like, the youngest person to ever start going on estrogen as, like, a 12 or 11-year-old in Germany. And she's still, if you look at her proportions, her head is bigger, her arms are longer. It doesn't affect the bone structure. So that is one huge reason that I kind of am pro this law. The only thing is, like, I wouldn't want them to force, like, a private business that does sports to not, you know, have whatever rules they want. But I think this is talking about public school.
So there are all kinds of private businesses that are doing sports.
Mm-hmm.
So
hold on. Let's talk about the story before we talk about the story.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, because I'm not sure if this is talking about just public school, and I think it might be. But before we get into it, this is the first time David from New Mexico has called in, not at the very last second in the show. Do you have something relevant to say about this? It seems like something you'd be interested in.
Of course I do, Bonnie. Everything I say is relevant, so you know the answer to that. That's simple math.
It just seemed like something you would actually want to have a comment on, so that's why I let you on.
Well, Well, actually, I called about something else, but I do have comments on it. I'll share them with you. But first of all, you're wrong on the etymology of the word woman.
What is it?
When Adam first saw Eve, you know, she's all naked and stuff. He goes, "Whoa, man, look at that!"
Nice.
Yeah,
that's pretty cute.
Well, it's true. It's true, man. I had a conversation with him one time. He told me all about it, man. I mean, you'd be the same way. If you're like the only man, there's no women on it, and all of a sudden, bam! Not only woman, but she's naked. Whoa, man! That'd be your natural reaction, dude.
So, David, the world's second man.
Yeah, the world's second man. Yes,
it's always number two.
I didn't get. Yeah. Hey, number two. What was that, Bonnie? You slipping in a little bit? Yeah, I heard that. All right. I see how this is gonna go.
Second best to Adam.
Yeah, Red. Yeah, I thought you were making a number two comment, like number two stories from Cuckass.
No, so. I'm not making a number two. I just will never make a joke about feces, so just assume that.
Oh, okay. Well,
that's what I thought the joke was about.
See, Bonnie, see? Okay. Well, from this point forward. So, but I got, you know, because you got Mark there, I mean, I got more questions about horses. I got all kinds of fun questions about horses. But since you got Mark there, let's do sailboats today. But first of all, my comment on that I don't think you'll ever get to on your transsexual sporting event, whatever, is who's that? Do I hear something in the background?
Oh, it's Mark typing.
Oh, Mark, stop typing.
I'm looking up Whoa Man.
Whoa. No, it's not Whoa Man. It's Whoa Man. So two things on your topic, and then I'll ask my question. So first of all, there's Title IX. I know you don't care about the government, but Title IX does exist, and that's to protect women's sports, to give them an opportunity because the money's in the men's sports. And it's kind of a violation of Title IX, and so I'll just introduce that. I don't want to argue it. And the other thing is, if you let dudes who are now dudettes or however you want to explain it, that can obviously outperform physically in athletic competitions, the ones that are not transitioning from male to female, you're stealing from the original women. You're stealing from them. You're stealing all kinds of stuff, and I won't list off what you're stealing. You can figure that out for yourself. Sailboats. Mark. What is the sailboat market like in Florida nowadays as far as availability and prices are up or prices are down and stuff like that?
I haven't been looking too much, but one thing that I've found about sailboats is after they're about 15 years old, the only thing as far as the costs go is the maintenance costs, the maintenance costs essentially. So you're not paying for the boat any longer. You're paying for the cost to repair the boat. If the, you know, if you've got a boat that everything's broken on it, then it's free. And there's lots of free boats.
Yeah, so I was just with my father-in-law, and he's a avid sailor, and he one of
in
the
Florida
reasons,
too, right?
Well, he had a boat. He's had a boat on Lake Winnipesaukee for
here,
like
New Hampshire.
Yeah, he had several different boats, but every, you know, he's had a boat, you know, on that lake for like the 25 years previous to moving from New Hampshire. So he moved away in spring of 2020, sold his boat, fall of 2019. And I believe he got something like $26,000 for his boat. It was a 36-foot, I can't remember what, but
anyway. Well, that sounds huge.
It's a 36-foot boat, you know, sailboat.
I mean, three stories. That's a 3 stories plus 6 feet. That's huge.
Yeah, long, right? 36-foot long. Mm-hmm. Yep. So he got like $24,000 for that boat. And he was telling me that the guy was trying to sell it and was basically had it out there for like $7,000 or $8,000, and it was quite good shape when my father-in-law sold it to the guy. It had only like 100 hours on the engine, but you know, you rarely use them, so they're all low hours. The boat, I was out on the lake, you know, multiple times with it in 2019 and 2018.
Winnipesaukee is such a pretty area.
And I did a whole bunch of sailboat races with him, which is like the slowest race in the world is on a sailboat. And anyways, and then his buddy just sold, his buddy moved out of Florida too, and they went in partners on a boat together, I guess. And the boat was his friend's that he had shipped from here to Florida, And from what I understand, he sold that boat like 6 or 8 months ago. And the basically the cost of getting the boat to Florida is about what he got for the boat. And it was like a $75,000 boat like 10 or 12 years ago. I don't know if that was brand new or used, but I guess it's what he paid for the boat. And I don't know all the details on the boat. But I can tell you it's kind of like the horse and car market. Well, not the car market because cars are necessary, but like the horse market. Cheap boats are for nothing, basically. And the yachts that the guys, you know, who are millionaires, those things are, you know, sort of commanding all of their value, from what I understand.
Well, I muted David because I already told him we're not having Horse Talk Live anymore, and he can email you about that. But let's just get into this article. I did let him talk the one question about the boat, which I don't know why he keeps asking Mark about boats anyway, considering he knows Mark sold his boat.
It's one of the best days of my life, too.
That's what it
is. Well, he's probably interested in boats. Very much mean freedom to people. If you have a catamaran, by the way, a 35-foot catamaran is a pretty small one, Bonnie. But if you have a 40 to 45-foot catamaran, you and your loved one and maybe your kids can live on it, and you could live potentially outside of the 12-mile line if that's what you want to do. But essentially, you're free on a boat. You know, nobody bothers you out there.
I'm sure it does feel really nice to be out on the open ocean or a lake or whatever, and you know, be in control of your boat and everything, but ultimately they'll come get you if they want you.
If they want you, they will come get you. But my experience in being out on a boat is they don't want you. They're not, you know, Marine Patrol isn't looking for troublemakers in that same way. Yes, absolutely. Any government agency that wants you and you're inside their jurisdiction, they're going to come get you. And if you're outside, there was a situation where the government of Thailand blew up somebody who was in a, what they called a seastead, but essentially a boat. 13 miles out. So they were in international waters and they sent their Navy out and gunned it down.
Wow.
No, nobody cared. Now there was no one on the boat.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
The important part.
I remember that. Yeah. It's still really messed up because it's somebody's property that was blown up by the, you know, government of Thailand. And like you said, nobody cared.
Right. I mean, what would have happened if the U.S. citizen was on board? It wouldn't have been good, but nonetheless, that's what happened.
Never mind. Thailand is not
the one. Nothing would have happened because, was it Taiwan?
No, Thailand.
Oh,
yeah,
Thailand.
So that's what I was about to say. I was about to make a comment. I was like, wait, Taiwan is the one everybody seems to love right now because, I don't know, just it's the current thing that if you virtue signal for Taiwan, Ukraine, and, not Pakistan, what's the other P? Anyways, if you virtue signal for the certain countries that they have told you are really important to virtue signal for right now. Not Pakistan. What's the other one? It's the one that Israel's exploding.
Palestine.
These countries that people didn't know where they were. I don't know.
They still don't know where
they
are.
Yeah, true. All of a sudden, they're really important to back and really care about for some reason. And for whatever reason, it's the Republicans doing it with Taiwan. But let's get into this story from NHPR. That's New Hampshire Public Radio. NHPR.org. It says, NH House, New Hampshire House, votes to ban trans girls from girls' sports teams. And we've already established the lingo here that trans girls means somebody that is born a boy biologically and then transitioned into living life as a female. And the New Hampshire House approved a bill to bar transgender girls from participating in female sports teams in kindergarten through 12 schools and public colleges and universities in a 189-182 vote. Wow, really close. That drew criticism from LGBTQ plus rights groups. House Bill 1205 would require parents of students to produce a birth certificate to prove to school districts that their child's sex at birth before they could participate in a sports team. Prove their sex at birth. Those students whose birth certificate does not indicate their sex at birth would need to provide other evidence for it, according to the bill. Oh, I didn't even know that your birth certificate could not say male, female. I'm pretty sure mine does. The bill would... Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I don't... I find it interesting because how do they know, right? Like, the vast majority of people, you can look and tell. I've had piglets. I've had children. I've had all these things. I can look and tell, male or female. But sometimes there's a chromosomal whoopsie-do, and I just want to know what they define as male and female when there is, because it's, I've heard, like I've read on the internet that it's as often as 1 in 1,000 times. That's 0.1%.
Somebody is born intersex, meaning kind of like they have both parts, like a few different pieces to each part of each puzzle of being male and female, and they're born with both, and they just, you know, their parents kind of end up having to choose one.
To be clear, the majority of those that are intersex, the vast majority of those that are intersex, are also pretty clearly one or the other, usually female, I believe. So people don't even know. It's these odd cases, these 1 in 10,000, the 1 in 100,000 cases where somebody needs an operation to kind of decide, you know, like they've got parts that are ambiguous. I'm not sure what that is. Let's sew that up, you know, or whatever they do.
Seen a horse like that once.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
now, I sort of torn on this because I think that on one hand, I don't want legislators telling people how they can participate in sports and that sort of thing. On the other hand, send your kid to a government school, expect government solutions.
Yeah, that's kind of what I didn't read the bill, and I don't really have some hard approve or disapprove on this thing. One thing, I don't have kids. Another thing, I hate sports. But one thing I think about it is that it is public school, so it just seems to me that if everybody is forced to pay for these children to play these stupid games, well, then you shouldn't be forced to pay for girls to be getting actually injured and to not be able to compete with the people who have much larger bones. What my point was with bringing up Kim Petras being somebody who started estrogen at 11 years old is like she still clearly has different proportions than someone like me. Someone the same age that was born female never did anything about it.
Right. And I don't have a problem with somebody somebody dressing however they want to dress to go to public school. I don't have a particular problem with, you know, I don't want to see the trans girl forced to wear the boy's uniform. I don't want to see the trans girl forced to go into a bathroom where she feels unsafe. Mind you, there's a real problem with people feeling unsafe where she decides she's going to go to the bathroom. And I think the school needs to address that particular problem. But all of that essentially is, putting on the county the problem of whatever your child's got. And if your child needs a special school, maybe they need a special school. I don't know the answer to that.
Sports, that's the thing. If there was like a child that was born with some other ailment like that could harm other students, I don't think that anyone would be in favor of like, you just gotta let them play anyway. Like, if there's some child that was born with some kind of like made up disease that I'm making up right now where they just every 5 minutes they become like the Hulk and they start smashing people. Well, nobody would be up in arms saying, hey, they should be allowed to play with the girls. Well, like, you know, and it's just basically the same thing because women get injured if they have to play. That's the whole reason why there aren't co-ed things for stuff like football and
yeah, because the girls
soccer
get wrecked in those full contact sports. So basically baseball, I'm sorry, basketball, football, soccer, lacrosse, field hockey, those are full contact sports. So I watched my little sister play a lot of field hockey over the years, and they run into each other pretty hard, those girls, and they're getting, some of them getting bloody nose, you know, fat lip, loose, you know, so they're kind of making a point not to run into each other, but it just happens. You put a boy in the mix, especially one that has a mental illness, so now they're calling themselves trans because they're mentally ill, and they usually have rage issues because they're mentally ill.
I prefer the term mental condition because I don't know what to say regarding it all. I get where you're coming from. I'm not.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Mental condition. So yeah, someone who's got
it's undeniably a mental condition.
So someone who has a mental condition that generally, in my observation, are, you know, what's the suicide rate on what do they call them, trans girls? What's the suicide rate on a boy that wants to be a girl? So obviously, if you want to be a girl. And your parents have been either they're these woke leftist nut, you know, mentally conditioned nut jobs themselves, and they're programming you to, you know, sort of do this thing for attention or whatever, or the internet is programming you to do this. The algorithm, this is why I'm so much against keeping so much want to keep kids off the internet, because the internet is really promoting and incentivizing, you know, this whole trans stuff.
It was the internet was seriously promoting depression, bipolar. Like it was cool. If you went on Tumblr in 2011 when I was a freshman in high school, you would be like, wow, I want a mental illness, like as in being depressed or
because
eating
you get
disorder.
Attention for
yeah,
it?
Yeah, because you get attention for it. And Nikki and I had this whole conversation on the show before about it, how it wasn't being trans back then, but it was actually kind of being like a lesbian. So every single girl
right.
that and I ever went to high school with that was bi or gay is married to a man now.
And as soon as you call yourself trans or LGB whatever, now you become a part of a protected class of people, according to basically what's going on. Just like what's his Planet Fitness, I might be saying the wrong thing, but there's a nationwide gym, and there was one up in Alaska where a woman walks into the woman's bathroom or changing room or locker room, and there is a dude shaving, and I guess he's butt naked, and there was like a 12-year-old girl there, and this woman was upset about it. She got kicked out of Planet, I think it's Planet Fitness.
I don't know, and I hadn't heard that.
Yeah, and the guy was like, I'm LGBT or something. He said, like he's exempt from being in there because he claims that status.
And that's why just, like, civil rights are they have been manipulated in a way that I don't think they're really helping anybody who's a minority. They're mostly just used whenever, 603-283-6160.
I've been told no in many different ways.
I give you an order and you're going to obey it.
Who told you to go this way?
You can do that and you have to leave here.
You cannot bring signs into the rally.
Walk with me.
Well, I'm comfortable here, actually.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Hey, hey,
who do you think you
excuse
are?
Excuse me.
There is no video or audio allowed in this office.
No, I have work today. This is...
You ain't gonna make...
Wait,
you wanna come.
Now.
Wait a minute.
Hey! Oh my God! Unbelievable!
Why are you running from me?
Because you're scared of me.
What am I being detained for?
You're being served.
What is this?
You're being served.
What is this?
Bureaucrats have a funny way of telling people no.
That's the sound of the men working on the chain.
Derek Jay's Victimless Crime Spree. You can order your copy of the Director's Cut DVD now at victimlesscrimespree.com.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call. You can bring up whatever is on your mind. You can give us your opinion on what we're talking about, or you can change the subject completely. It doesn't matter. It's Free Talk Live, as long as you don't want to talk about horses again, David. Free Talk Live is brought to you by ForkFest, happening June 13th through the 16th at Rogers Campground in the beautiful White Mountains of New Hampshire. ForkFest is a fork of the Porcupine Freedom Festival. ForkFest is decentralized, so there is no ticket cost and no one is in charge. For more information and to connect with other attendees, you can visit the unofficial website, forkfest.party. That's forkfest.party. And in the last segment, we were talking about this article from NHPR.org. Basically, not really the article, but just the idea that there are currently mixed or co-ed sports out there that people play in public school, and co-ed means that the boys and girls are mixed, but then there are also sports that are usually full contact, like soccer and football and stuff like that that are not co-ed, and their boys are play against boys and girls play against girls. And in New Hampshire, a bill has made it through the House. That doesn't mean it's made it through the Senate, but it made it through the House that would ban trans girls from girls' sports teams. And with you in the studio, well, with you on the show tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
Oh, sorry, Mark. I had you kind of quiet there.
Terribly sorry. And Mark.
And that was my fault. So this New Hampshire House bill would require parents of students to produce a birth certificate to prove to school districts their child's sex at birth. And the bill would require all interscholastic, intercollegiate, intramural, whatever that means, or...
It's just not the big team. It's okay. Just people playing for fun, and usually in college.
Okay. And it's all the public things. It's not like, oh, the state is now going to go to some local privately owned sports team and force them to not allow trans people into the sports teams they want to be on if that's what the owner of the sports team wanted to do. It's the public schools. So that's kind of it's an important thing to note for me, because I wouldn't support the government stopping any privately owned business from doing whatever they want, whether I agree with it or disagree with it. I just think in my hypothetical mind, if I had a daughter that also wanted to play sports ball, which is like a bunch of ifs, but if I did, that I wouldn't want them to be playing with the trans girls because they are just not built the same. It wouldn't be fair. My little sister, who's only 4 years younger than me, so she's an adult now, I always watched her in sports, and I know how serious she got about it. One time I just said, like, oh, you should have tried harder, Elsbeth, after a game, and she got really mad. I was obviously joking, but she got, like, really mad at me. Like, she's never been mad at me before, because, like, oh, this is their entire life. Like, it's so important, and I don't understand that at all.
Well, the reason you don't understand it is because you're not out there, right? Like, if you're out there, and you're trying, and your adrenaline's pumping, and you're working towards a goal, and all those things, it's a lot different than sitting there on the sideline. And, by the way, the people who go and sit on the sidelines are really important to the people who are playing.
I don't understand it and still don't understand it. I'm saying that I cannot literally empathize, but I can sympathize now. Sure. But at the time, I was just being mean to my little sister and she got really mad. So imagine if you are trying your hardest like that, you really care that much, and then you can't possibly do better than second best the whole time, just like David from New Mexico, always second best to Adam, the first man. No, but you can't possibly do it any better, even if you were breaking like female world records. Well, you have a boy or a person who is biologically born a boy playing against you, and you can't possibly beat them. Even if they were like the crappiest person on the boys' team, they have such an unfair advantage.
I just want to send a message to the ladies. Is, look, I'm sorry that men are better at being women than you are, but apparently they are. They're going to just take all the records and they're going to do all this stuff unless you do something about it.
That's not being a woman.
Definitely playing... not better at being women.
Right, exactly.
I mean, when it comes to building sandwiches, my wife does a great job and making babies and, you know, doing all that good stuff.
Yeah.
So all I'm trying to do is whip people up, because the obvious statement here is that girls' sports ought to be reserved for girls. And we need to have some system for testing that. Now, I personally recommend the system of a chromosomal test. And if you have two X chromosomes...
Do you want the government to do that to people, though?
Well, if they want to play government sports, there's all kinds of things they have to do. I've played government sports before. I went to school, and I had to have all kinds of stuff filled out and that kind of thing. And if somebody questioned my gender, which... in my proposal, they would never question my gender, because I don't propose a boys' team. Because let's just go ahead and call it the double X team and the open team, or league. Let's call them leagues. The double X league and the open league. In the double X league, you must have two X chromosomes. In the open league, you can have any array of chromosomes you want to have. You can play and you can compete on whatever level you want. And, you know, if you want to wear a skirt while you're doing it, then you're welcome to.
Yeah, I kind of like that.
I think that's the best solution here. I'm not trying to be mean to my trans friends.
Right.
What I'm trying to do is be fair to female athletes.
I look at
and, go ahead.
As a liability issue. So, yeah. I got a little girl, and if she wants to play field hockey or basketball or soccer. Now, soccer is probably of those particular sports the most physical contact you're going to have is in soccer. There's a lot of, you're just going to run into people. Mm-hmm. So if there's a boy, a biological boy on that team that is convinced he's a girl for some reason, has this mental condition or whatever it is. So generally, those people are definitely more angry. They have lots of rage. They have a high suicide rate. You're going to have problems with that individual, especially in a team setting.
You want that person. You want your player to give their all, right? Well, it doesn't make a difference if they're mentally ill. What makes a difference is if they're giving their all.
What I'm concerned about is that boy masquerading as a girl, injuring girls on the team.
Giving your all means you're gonna.
Right. So
right. So here's a reality. That women's soccer team that was in the news a couple of years ago for, I don't remember exactly what entirely, but the United States women's soccer team regularly plays 15-year-old teams of 15-year-olds and 14-year-olds, and loses.
Yeah.
Now, that's not an exaggeration. They regularly lose.
Play against the 15-year-olds.
Right. And these 15-year-olds, now I got a 15-year-old currently.
I know.
You saw him.
Yeah.
He looks like a man, doesn't he?
Yeah,
he's a thin man. He's not like fat like his dad, but he's a man.
But he's already taller than Mark. He is 4 inches taller than Mark.
But he's got a good jawline. He's got good broad shoulders. He's got you've been doing all the correct testosterone things with him, obviously. He's, but
his mom is really interested in diet and Marcus told me, agrees with a lot of things
he's healthy.
Mickey and I talk about on the air, so I'm sure he's very, very healthy. I think Mark might have dropped off here. Oh, there he is. Give me a second.
So anyways, so you're going to see these private entities like my little brother. His name is Taylen Cook, and he has a YouTube channel, and he is a volleyball player. He I forget what college he goes to in California, plays volleyball. He's really good at it. He's an excellent trainer. I've been training kids, and when he was younger, and in the summertime, he plays on club teams. And these club teams are like private nonprofits.
Hmm.
And they actually have insurance policies. They buy insurance. And I'm very curious. I don't know the answer. I'm going to throw this out there. But what is an insurance underwriter going to say, or how are they going to write insurance policies for essentially injuries to these young athletes where the club may get sued because the venues that own these parks and sports complexes and arenas where these club sports play require these club teams to carry an insurance policy before they can have an event there. And so it's very similar to
not anymore, Mark?
I said it's an excellent point, Jay.
Yes.
It's really ultimately, this is going to come down to insurance. And we don't have a lot of information as to what it's like when boys play on the teams with girls. And I'm not trying to be, I'm talking about biological boys, biological girls. I'm not trying to be mean to anybody here. What I'm trying to do is talk about the reality of the bone structure and musculature of men and women. And that comes to rubber hits the road at sports. And I support all the trans rights until we talk about this one.
Well, that's because there's no such thing as a right to play a sport. So,
right.
There is a literal definition of what rights are. It means that anything that you should be permitted by society to do that isn't wrong. Anything that is right. There are an innumerable amount of them, but they don't have to be named because you don't have to have them written down in a list. And there is just no such thing as, you always, every single scenario, have the right to play a sport. You don't. If it's somebody else's team, it's owned by them. Or if, the people that fund the public school decide, yeah, we don't want this happening anymore. Sorry, you just don't have the right.
Let me give you a real clean, clear thing on this. You have a right to bear arms, but nobody has an obligation to provide you with said arm.
Right.
So
you have to go spend the $1,800 to go buy your Glock pistol. If you go buy it brand new, nobody is going to give it to you. Just like, so that's where, like, you know, you have a right to health care, but nobody has an obligation to provide you with it.
Otherwise, slavery would be happening. If somebody had an obligation to provide you with health care, for like Jay's example, that would mean that there was somebody who is a slave to you and must give you health care.
Absolutely.
It's the same thing, quote, the right to play a private or play on a private team and play sports with them.
Right. And I mean, you don't have the right to make other people play with you. You don't have the right to those other people's parents agreeing with you about what gender is. I could think that there are 39 genders. I could think that there are two. I can think any variety of things. And that's because I have the right to think what I want. But what you don't have the right to do is force other people to fit into your particular paradigm. And it, you know, when it comes to men's and women's sports, then I think that we should change the name of men's sports to open. And I think we should change the name of women's sports to XX. Now, I will say there's a flaw in my theory here. My flaw is that there are people walking around right now that self-identify as women, have their entire life, and have never questioned whether they're women. And those people have chromosomal variations that is something other than, they might be XXY, they may be, you know, any variety of chromosomal mixes. And
that's so creepy. I don't want to go get, what if I went and got tested and find, lo and behold, I have like internal testicles or something? That'd be terrifying.
Yeah, wouldn't that stink? And I mean, that's terrible for those people.
Yeah.
But I propose that the open league be for people who have, you know, standard chromosomal makeups.
Yep. Oh, I don't know if we lost Mark there, but what? I hear you, but you went away for a while. You went silent for a while and got frozen, but I see you now. I think it's all good, but
okay.
I understand your proposal. It's just like, well, that could be one solution, but it just seems, you know, a little complicated to me, and it seems like this bill makes more sense to just, you know, it kind of sucks because it's like, oh, now where, what team do the trans girls get to play on? Well, the thing is, it might be not okay for them to be playing on the boys' team either, but I just feel like that's a huge open market. Maybe now, if you care a lot about the subject, you should go start a private team for all trans kids to play, or anybody to play. Like, you can go and open a team.
And those exist. Mm-hmm. In the world of motorsports and equestrian sports, I grew up in both motorsports and equestrian sports. So I rode the hunters and jumpers, I team roped, I calf roped. So we had, there was definitely girls, there was women's calf roping and men's calf roping. There was calf roping and then there was women's calf roping, because calf roping, after you rope the calf, you get off, you jump off the horse, run to the end of the rope, and you hog tie the calf.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that.
So the women would just get crushed if they're competing against the men. But in like, and then there's barrel racing, which is generally mostly women, but men will go barrel race too. And actually,
is that like the horses jumping over barrels?
No, barrel racing is you go run around the barrels. And actually, the reason that the women tend to win is because women are smaller and lighter, so therefore
they weigh less.
The horse can run faster. You have horse racing, where the limit on the saddle, the bridle, and the jockey in the jockey club for thoroughbred horses, I believe, is like 125 pounds.
Do you have horses right now?
Technically, I have two, but they're not at my place.
Oh, okay.
So anyways, the horse racing, it is mostly dominated by women because they are lighter jockeys in general.
I was just thinking, I bet horses would love me because they'd be like, wow, she's actually up there. She's the size of a child.
And the other thing is motorsports. So when I was in truck pulling, I was involved a little bit in motocross. We're going to do garden tractor pulls this summer with our homeschool co-op.
And oh my God! Isn't that so loud? When it was happening at a what is it called? A fair in Swansea. Mm-hmm. They had a tractor pull. Maybe it's like bigger there than the ones you'd be doing.
So the blower Hemi tractors are very, very loud. The 3,000-4,000 horsepower.
You know who would love that? Your son would probably be so happy.
Anything
about
with
that.
A motor or wheels, he just loses his stuff for. He loves that.
When he was only not even 1 year old, but he was able to like sit up by himself, I was carrying him around at a market day here in New Hampshire. And he was just pointing at anything and saying, vroom, vroom, that was a car.
Oh, yeah, or a motorcycle, yeah.
He couldn't talk, but he could say that. And then Matt, actually, he used to be a host on the show. Matt and Nikki came up with their motorcycles, and he was just literally both hands stretched out towards the motorcycle, so I brought him over there. And he knew that, like, you rev something up with the handle, and I'm pretty sure he was, like, 6 months old. I don't know, maybe like 10.
I remember that. So he was not quite a year old. You're right. It was just before he turned a year old. And so he's definitely a gearhead, my son. He, for sure.
He was just saying, vroom, vroom, like, take me over there.
So anyways, in the motorsports world, when you have, women competing against men, there's just a lot more men that are riding motocross, that are driving dragsters, that are doing this. Tractor pulling and truck pulling. One thing I've noticed with the garden tractor pulls, there's a lot of young girls doing that. A lot of farm girls, a lot of country girls. It's like 50-50 with the little kids, in that. But that's, man and machine, or with a horse, it's man and beast. So, for example, in the rodeo world, you have what's called steer wrestling, where you literally are galloping up behind a steer on your horse. And you jump off your horse, you grab the steer by the horns, and you drive your heels into the ground, and you twist the steer down and around.
Holy! And I've steer, seen that, but I can't imagine doing it. Like just
well,
that's crazy.
Women don't even try doing that. Oh. I've never actually seen like in any professional rodeo association where any women have even tried doing steer wrestling, because when they actually try it, they get wrecked.
I bet,
and they get really, really hurt. And steer wrestlers are known as bulldoggers, and I was really into the rodeo culture. But
I've also never seen a rodeo clown that was a woman. Have you?
Nope. Actually, I have not.
And that's some dangerous stuff, and you have to be like somebody who's crazy about adrenaline to do that, because it is an actual thing if people don't know.
When I was at Anarchapulco, there was a doctor down there, and he wanted to use me as like an example. As like he was, making an example to someone he was talking to, and. So he's like, talking about this, little red rosacea on my forehead. Mm-hmm. And so we think we figured out what that is. And I'm doing working on a liver cleanse right now, actually.
That it's rosacea?
That's what the end result is of like the liver cleanse. It's, your body is, just reacting to some stuff. So anyways, he was talking about how like he was telling this woman how, look at this guy, look at his jaw, look at his shoulders, look at the way he walks. Look at, he's got, a full beard. He has like really good testosterone, and he doesn't even know me. Like he watched my presentation. He gave me some really good compliments and some feedback about that. His name's Peter Grady. He's a doctor from the UK, a homeopathic doctor. So
I don't think there's any man that's going to be insulted if you say he has really good testosterone.
Right.
It's probably a safe thing to say. I'd agree with him.
So anyways,
he said that about me too.
He goes, "You ever get in a fight before?" I says, "Yeah, I've gotten in a whole bunch of fights as a teenager, a couple as in my 20s." And he goes, "Have you ever got any broken bones?" I said, "Actually, no, I haven't broke a bone once in my life." He says, "What's the last fight you got into?" I says, "Well, about a year ago, I had this big old girl beat the crap out of me."
Whoa.
And I say, he goes, "Wow, what do you mean?" I said, "Oh, she beat me bad, gave me the scar on the side of my head, some stitches in the back of my head. I got 8 stitches by my eye." So I played a video. I don't know if you guys have seen the video.
I've seen it. It's okay. Crazy.
So this big cow, 1,600-pound cow. Like,
I forgot that was a girl. It was acting so crazy.
With horns. A Charlet Limousine Cross cow. Just pummeled me like 12 times.
It threw him up against the wall multiple times, and I I wouldn't have survived that.
So I played the video for the guy, and he goes, "Yep." He says, and he points to that to the girl that mm-hmm. he's talking to. He says, "You would have been dead."
Yeah, I literally
because
I saw the video too.
You don't have testosterone.
I just know I would have been dead too because you like grabbed the top of whatever it threw you up on and pulled yourself away. Didn't you?
I didn't pull myself away. Mm. I was trying to pull myself away, and it was raining out. Like, and I had gloves on,
uh-huh.
and that, like if I didn't have gloves on, I'd probably be in better shape. But what actually
I saw it like over a year ago
got me out of the position was the last time the cow hit me. I picked up my feet,
mm-hmm.
and it hit my feet and like my butt cheeks at the same time with you know with her head,
mm-hmm.
and it launched me up. Like right on top of the trailer.
That's what it was. Oh,
and then,
God.
But like
crazy.
For 4 days, man, my butt, cheeks, my the bottoms of my feet, my whole right hand side of my body just hurt. But I didn't get any broken bones.
Whoa.
12 stitches, but that's it.
That is so crazy. And you drink raw milk, right?
Not so much anymore. But when I was young, I definitely, when I was a little kid, I do remember walking to the, a dairy farm next door to my grandmother's house, and we would my grandmother would go in there and get the milk, and this guy had tons of blueberries, and me and my little brothers would just eat blueberries out in front of the barn, and then we would walk home. But yeah, we went and got like, I don't know, 2 quarts of milk almost every single morning when we were at my grandmother's house. And then when we're not at my grandmother's house, we actually got raw milk from another dairy that was like a half a mile down the road, and they would just drop it off at our house.
Well, that's where your bones, when your bones were constructed.
Yeah. It had,
sure,
and,
makes a lot of
and
sense.
I was my stepmother was a pharmacist. She understood a lot about nutrition. She understood that the vaccines were not safe. She understood, you know, so she didn't get us all vaxxed up.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't, you know, and she was really good about like whole wholesome foods.
Also just like
kept
farm
us away
work.
From junk food. And I worked all the time as a kid.
Like farm work is, you know, basically exercising all day, so I'm sure your bones are stronger because of that.
That was one thing too at Anarchapulco. Anybody who played with my kids, and that's one thing I really enjoyed about the Mexican culture. Like, they were so child friendly, like good, wholesome child, you know, family people. And all the people down there from like all over the world, Canada, UK, Australia, South America, they like all played with my kids. Everybody was really, really fun. They are all like, your kids are so strong for their age. And I'm like, they're farm kids.
That's funny. I've never like got tried to get them to like bite me and stuff like Colin does, but I bet they would be too strong for me to try to fight them. They just look sturdy. They eat butter and they work on the farm. I don't think I would try to take at least Cyprus, and maybe not your son in like a year or something. But 603-283-6160 is the phone number here. You can call in with whatever's on your mind. It's Free Talk Live, 603-283-6160. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Wake up and begin. Eleutheromania. The insatiable desire for freedom.
We have been enslaved for all our lives.
It's the new 3-song heavy metal EP from Captain Kickass.
The next ones they will.
Available now on your favorite music app or get it directly from CaptainKickass.com.
Authority to
Talk Live.
It's Free Talk Live, talk radio that you control, and 603-283-6160 is the number you can call to get in on the conversation with us. You can bring up whatever's on your mind. You can change the subject. You can tell us how you feel about the terrible things we say and how wrong we are. 603-283-6160. And Free Talk Live is brought to you by LibertyMinded.com. Official Free Talk Live gear like t-shirts and hoodies are available at LibertyMinded.com. Plus, you'll find a unique collection of cool and funny liberty-oriented clothing at libertyminded.com. That's libertyminded.com. And I got some of those shirts, and I'm really happy about them. Do you have any of those, Mark?
The liberty-minded shirts?
Yeah.
I'm not, I don't get my Free Talk Live shirts off the internet. They're usually handed to me. Hmm. So I don't know which ones that I have that are on Liberty Minded and which ones aren't. I've obviously had many of those designed shirts throughout the years. And my favorite one is the Taxes Are Theft one, which we, Free Talk Live, sort of, we believe, started the meme of taxation is theft with these t-shirts back in, what did you say it was, 2017?
I thought it was 2015 when we were talking about this. We'd have to bring it back up, but you found proof of how far back it was. And as far as I know, no one was saying taxation is theft all the time until this t-shirt was made. And I'm really sad right now because I can't find mine. I have a vintage Taxes Are Theft shirt. I even wore it to Ian's trial. So that's the last time I for sure know that I had it. And I have no idea where it is right now. And it's making me really sad. Because it's vintage and really cool, and Ian gave it to me. But in the studio, well, on the show with you tonight, you've got me, Bonnie,
Jay,
and Mark.
And let's just go straight to your phone calls and thoughts. We have Dave Ridley in New Hampshire on the phone. Dave from RidleyReport.com, what's on your mind?
Hey, guys. Well, something I wish was not on my mind.
Uh-oh.
So I have a question for you. When a political candidate orders an ad run on your channel but fails to pay for it, is it appropriate to inform the public?
I think so.
Yeah, I would agree, especially if you have some kind of... So you want to be careful that this guy can't come like against you for some kind of libel or slander or something, this political candidate. But, you know, I'm sure you have some, you know, communications you could probably screenshot, or as long as you feel...
Should
you
ask
can,
a lawyer, definitely. But.
Well, as long as you can feel you can verify... In that, you know, he agreed to pay you and you did an ad and you're stating he didn't pay you. I mean, I think you're pretty okay to expose
him. Morally, I agree that you should do it. You should expose
him. Right. I think that's where I would come from on this, is that if this is so, and I'm not verifying or denying that this occurred, but if this is so, then the people who would vote for him or her and donate to the campaign or and that sort of thing need to know how they conduct business, you know.
So who is it? I want to know.
Yeah, unfortunately, this is someone considered generally a constitutionalist candidate who I would have probably voted for if this hadn't happened. It's Therese Bastarache. Do you know her?
Oh, Therese Grinnell. Yeah, she's a really bad person. No one should really support her. She's terrible to everyone who tries to work with her. She turns against them. She's like, loves drama. She's not a libertarian for sure. And she was really mean to Ian once when Ian has done nothing but be nice to her.
Okay, interesting. So I'm not alone in my think. Well, I don't think necessarily exactly the same as you. I think it's appropriate to focus on what's actually been said. And so I have kept transcripts of all our communications, and I've published the raw transcripts on forum.shiresociety.com if anyone wants to read the whole exchange. But I have some specific quotes I want to get into that were the most some of the more disturbing ones. But you're going up to a break, aren't you?
No, we just got off break, so okay, you should tell us.
Okay, so here's several different things. First of all, she ordered an ad run in late January. I wouldn't expect her to pay for it in late January. I started doing some of the work before receiving any payment. Then she saw one of my ambush interviews, and she didn't think I should have ambush interviewed that politician. And she didn't like my questions, and she wanted to renege, which is, in and of itself, that's workable. We can talk about that. So we did start talking about that. I suggested, well, why don't we do cut the fee in half. I've done about half the work. It was going to be $300. Let's just make it $150. She got really angry at me at that point. And, you know, that was after some time had gone past. And so, I posted 2 days ago, I posted this to the Shire forums, just posted the raw conversation, no summary and no opinion of my own. And right after I posted that, I sent it to her, and immediately I received this quasi-threatening email from a man identifying himself, accurately or not, as a Walter Kirsch. It reads, quote, Blackmail? Really? You should be careful who you F-bomb with, unquote. And he didn't say F-bomb.
Yeah. So
that was one concerning quote. And the other one, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Is this Walter? Oh, man. Did he run for state representative, this guy?
I don't know.
Boy, I'm gonna just hold on a second. All I'm gonna look this up.
All of her, if this helps you figure it out, all of her friends are like right wingers, and they're those people that think like, oh, I'm a libertarian too now because I was against the lockdowns and the stupid COVID measures, which is it's great. You were against the lockdowns and the stupid COVID measures. Good for you. But you don't automatically become a libertarian when you still believe in coercion and violence at the state of the at the hands of the state, but just like the kind of coercion and violence you actually like. She did one thing that was interesting. She was a nurse during the COVID lockdowns in 2020, and she just went outside in, I think it was Manchester, and just held a sign saying, like, stop the lockdowns. It's ridiculous. And over time, the first time she did it, it was like, oh, I feel silly being out here doing this. And then over time, like, one person joined her, then two people joined her, then there was, like, I don't know, hundreds of people that would weekly go to her protest that she had started. And, you know, that's like a great thing. It doesn't make you a libertarian, though, and it doesn't make you a good person.
So Walter Kirsch says here, candidate profile, Merrimack House District 8, Bradford, Henniker, Warner. So I ran for state rep as a Republican.
Was he a Democrat?
No.
Oh.
He ran as a Republican. Hmm. And I remember trying to get a hold of him because there was a debate, and I didn't make it into the primary, and he made it into the primary. So it was him, James Parker. I can't remember the other guy's name. There was three people running in this district, and we were all trying to get a hold of him because there was a debate between the Democrats and the Republicans put on at, I don't know, some Rotary Club or something, but for that particular district, and the only Republican that showed up was James Parker. We couldn't get a hold of Walter Kirsch, and we couldn't get a hold of the other guy. In fact, James went to Walter's house to try to find him. It was listed for his address, and he wasn't around because it would have been good to have like the other two Republicans that were, you know, what, you know, that were going to be on the ballot actually at the debate. We were like pretty annoyed with this guy. Hey, you know, you ran for this office and you didn't, and you won the primary and you did not go to the debate.
So it was
just
all Democrats there?
Right. So it was three Democrats and one Republican and three total garbage, mentally ill, very woke Democrats, you know, like child chopping, supporting, mask wearing, vaccine mandate.
But James was able to debate them?
And James was there debating him. James is a very good, you know, principled, you know, libertarian.
I'm sure that was entertaining. I like him.
And So what was interesting is that like Walter never showed up. He was like, come on, dude, where were you? And so, yeah.
Did he cuss you out or something? Like, if he cussed you out, then most likely it's Therese Grinnell.
No,
whatever,
actually, so my interaction with Walter Kirsch was very pleasant. I met him. We were sign holding together on election day at the Henniker Town, you know, where they do the elections, the polls. And yeah, I thought he was a great guy. We chatted about all kinds of things and we agreed on he seemed very much libertarian, to me anyways.
Who was the politician that she didn't think that you should ambush interview?
Well, first of all, we should make clear, there's no definite verification that this really was Walter Kirsch.
Oh, it
was
right. Okay.
From a Facebook account called Walter Kirsch. So it doesn't prove that it was from him. It's possible. I'm just telling you what the Facebook account said.
Yeah, and that's a good thing to point out.
She was, I don't know the name of the politician I was questioning. He refused to speak to me, basically. So this is one of the guys who I had asked him. I said, what have you done from your position at the New Hampshire State House? What have you done about the Sununu rape camp?
Okay.
This is the biggest scandal in New Hampshire history, right?
Yeah, the Sununu detention center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that detention thing. And so he ordered me to turn the camera off, refused to answer the question, but she likes him. So
yeah, right.
Hey, Dave. You know,
So she didn't think I should have ambushed. And I wasn't ambush interviewing him after she commissioned the ad run. This is something that had aired 3 or 4 months ago. And I think I sent her a copy in response to a request from her. Mm. And she didn't like And when she saw it, she didn't like it. She wanted to know if I'd done anything about the Sununu Rape Center. And that's one of the things I've done is question state reps about it. And then she got angry about me doing that. But again, wow. That's okay. It's her right to decide what she thinks I should do in terms of interviews and whether she should advertise or not. That's not the problem. Mm-hmm. The problem is committing and not paying and then trying to make me delete videos. So let me tell you about this.
She's trying to censor you.
I will say this, Dave, as somebody who has worked in media for a very long time, is as soon as somebody gives you $1, they suddenly think they're the executive producer of your media. And you have to be prepared, like you were, to just, you know, cut your losses and say, hey, look, you know, you got your rights here or whatever. But I'm going to do the media I'm going to do. That was the media that you were interested in advertising on in the first place.
Right.
Yeah. And, you know, it's all in the transcripts. But she wants me. So we got far enough into the process that I had she ordered three different ads, three different types of ads for three different things. And so I had already aired one of the ads and sent it to her. You know, she approved the copy, and then I produced the ad and sent her a copy of it after it aired. And so she wants that video taken down, the one that her ad is in. She doesn't want to be in that video anymore.
Hmm.
So she's ordered me to take down the video, but she hasn't paid for anything. She hasn't sent me a nickel. So I don't think I don't really work for her at this point. So I don't think I should be taking the video down. So you can just, if you go to forum.shiresociety.com, there's a thread called questionable behavior by executive council candidate Therese Bastarash, and that has a summary, and you can just go from there.
So, Dave, I have a couple questions for you and a suggestion. So you have been sort of investigating a Sununu Rape Center. You've been talking to politicians about it. Have you interviewed any victims by any chance?
Well, I tell you what, you know, the thing I should say to you is the thing that politician maybe should have said to me. I mean, I don't know, this politician has actually apparently done some things to help. But if I were a politician and someone asked me that question, I think I would probably say I haven't done enough. And that's what I have to say to you. I haven't done enough. I wish I had done more. I did go out there maybe 2013 or something. Lou D'Alessandro suggested I go out to the facility. And I did go to the facility and asked around, poked around a little bit, asked some questions of some people who worked there. But I just couldn't get very far with it, you know. That's what I did then. And this interview is what I did, you know, a couple months ago. But it's not enough. I need to do more. I've done some talk radio calls about
you
it.
You okay. Should definitely go to Paris Hilton's Twitter. Why do I say that? Because just yesterday, she posted that the New Hampshire's, and she tagged the New Hampshire Democrats and the New Hampshire GOP, should stand with SB 417 that aims to fix the out-of-home residential placement system by keeping kids near their families. Can you believe that Paris Hilton is interested in a New Hampshire bill that,
So now that we're going to talk about Paris Hilton, I'm going to suggest to Paris Hilton and Dave Ridley something to do. So Dave, you said you haven't done enough. Well, it's kind of like, you know, oh man, I didn't buy Bitcoin 10 years ago. Well, the best time to buy Bitcoin is probably today. Mm-hmm. Or I didn't plant that, you know, apple tree 10 years ago. Well, the best time to plant that apple tree is today. Well, maybe in a few weeks.
You didn't invest in Bitcoin 10 years ago. Now's the best time.
Right. So you said you haven't done enough. Well, Dave, you're a pretty informed guy. I think that you would be someone good to go testify Monday at the committee to investigate New Hampshire DCYF. Is going to be at the Legislative Office Building, room 203. This is in Concord, New Hampshire. And it is they're going to have a work session from 9 to 11 a.m. And then public is invited to testify at 11 a.m. And I recommend people put themselves under oath. There's been a big hoopla about they kicked Leah Cushman off this committee, and they put on this other woman, Erica, I forget her last name. I did actually meet her this past weekend.
Didn't you say Leighton or something?
Leighton, I believe. I hate to say the names wrong, but she's on the committee now. We'll see what happens. But basically, that committee needs people to testify under oath about what's going on with DCYF. So DCYF is, you know, just creating massive, massive liabilities for the people.
It's the Division of Children, Youth, and Families, for anybody that doesn't know, because it's usually called CPS, Child Protective Services, in other states.
So anyways, Dave, if and Paris Hilton come to one of these committees and testify. Now, Monday might be short notice for you guys. And there will be another committee hearing, I believe, getting scheduled later. I believe, although there is the possibility that they're really trying to stall this and shut this hearing up because people are, because the people are waking up. The people are understanding that they are the masters and the people in government are the servants, and they're starting to act and treat them like that. And we have done notices and affidavits to the legislature to basically bring DCYF in alignment with the law. And the law is due process of law. DCYF and Family Court are not using due process of law. They're stealing children without due process of law. They're putting people's names on communist, socialist, Nazi-style lists without due process of law. And it's this agency, as far as I'm concerned, is comprised of a cultural rot and cultural decay with its employees, who are a bunch of woke essentially activists and vigilantes that are targeting people who aren't complying or, you know, acting within the narrative. And we have a lot of evidence and a lot of proof of this. I am going to be there on Monday with some testimony. I'm going to keep it short and brief, and I'm going to actually be testifying at every single committee hearing afterwards because I have a lot of information to give these guys. The problem is I'm kind of like a fire hose trying to fill up a shot glass. So I got to, like, you know, just, you know, they're just people, you know, on this committee. They can only digest so much information at a time. But, Dave, I think if you got some stuff that these committee that this committee needs to hear, things that, you know, you want to tell them, that would be a good place for you and also Paris Hilton to show up and testify under oath.
Well, I wish I could be in Concord every day. But there is one piece of good news related to this that's coming out of Concord, and that is that State Rep. Jason Gerhard is trying to mediate this situation between me and Therese.
Oh.
So she called him, I guess, and he called me quickly. And his suggestion has been, okay, how about a payment plan, just $5 a month for 2 years? It's not ideal. But that's probably something that would let us move forward if that happens. So he's working on that. But meanwhile, she sent me a message today. It says, quote, if you do not remove We the People promo from the NH exit and confirm such by end of today, I will seek appropriate recourse, unquote.
Wow.
So that's the video.
So
here's, trying to have taken down.
Here's how I'd respond to that. My rate for, you know, IT, computer, network, you know, internet services is X amount of dollars per hour or per session. And once you have paid me, then I will go ahead and I will provide this service for you. But you can't force me to do anything.
She's crazy.
Without paying me.
It's only a matter of time before she turns on Jason Gerhart too, and then suddenly she hates him and there's drama with him and she's calling the cops on him or whatever. She is crazy. She's not actually like a good person. She's a bad person, and this is just,
well,
more proof,
you know,
I've seen it a million times
now.
Oh, I was just saying, I've seen a lot of instances of things exactly like what you're saying.
I've enjoyed talking with her over the years for the most part, and I look forward to being on the same side as her again at some point. This will pass like everything else. But I didn't even want to call you about it. I waited 2 days, you know, and in a sense I waited, you know, over a month. So, yeah, it's just time for the public to know my concerns.
It sounds like she doesn't really want to, I mean, if Jason tried to mediate and then she texted you something like that, it really does sound like she doesn't want to be, to find a, you know, a peaceful solution. So I don't blame you for calling in about it. Moving on. Thank you for the call, Dave Ridley. Anybody who wants to check his videos out, ambushing politicians and stuff like that, things that we really appreciate him for doing, you can go to RidleyReport.com. You can also find, if you go to Free Talk Live SoundCloud and look up Bonnie's Activist Archives, I did a really long, like a 50-minute interview with Dave Ridley about his whole history of his channel and his activism, and it was awesome. I should do more of those, but my husband went to jail, so I have excuses. But moving on from Peter St. Ange, his Substack, where he writes articles. I brought this story in today to see what Mark and Jay have to say about this. It says, America's farms are getting wiped out. And that's kind of a scary thought. America's farms are getting wiped out. And it starts off by showing a graph. Farm production expenditures total and average per farm by year. United States 2013 to 2022, and it's doubled or more. The total expenditure that they have to spend to make money, obviously, has gone up so much from around 360,000 to, oh, not doubled, sorry, just is a weird graph. 360,000 to 460,000 per year to run a farm. It's pretty crazy.
Well, that's on a, you know, it looks like it's on a broad spectrum average. And these are obviously farms that are like, you know, filing paperwork. These are all probably government subsidized farms where this data is coming from.
And inflation. Everything costs more money with inflation.
Well, so you have the price of diesel fuel was $6, you know, a year and a half ago. And farms are tremendously dependent on diesel fuel. The price of hay in like the Texas area, Colorado, Nebraska, like the kind of hay that you feed dairy cattle, is like $650 to $700 a ton right now.
Whoa.
We had just said that day-old calves at auction are bringing $1,000. Mark, those market hogs, the 305-pound to 320-pound market hogs, which are the ones the buyers want, 88 cents is what their average was a pound. And you can't even feed
on
that
the hoof.
On the hoof, yep, 88 cents a pound. But those big corporate farms, they basically feed all those hogs garbage.
More coming up at 603-283-6160. You can get your thoughts in on the air with us, 603-283-6160, Free Talk Live. Don't go anywhere. Control 603-283-6160 is the phone number you can call to get in on the conversation with us for this last segment of Free Talk Live. 603-283-6160. Are you tired of the oppressive rules and moderation of the big tech social media sites? Our Mastodon server at social.freetalklive.com can set you free. Mastodon is free, open source, decentralized, and federated. Multiple apps are available for iOS, Android, Windows, Mac, and Linux. Social.freetalklive.com. And with you on Free Talk Live tonight, you've got me, Bonnie.
Jay.
And Mark.
And we do have a caller on the line. We have Rob in Vermont. Rob, what's on your mind?
Hey, I wanted to say, Jay, I will be there Monday morning at 9 o'clock, and if Dave Ridley needs a ride, I'm happy to pick him up and bring him there.
You guys are both on Telegram. I could probably get you guys connected on there if you don't have his contact info.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah, and you know, so just know, you know, the public hearing part doesn't start till 11, and which means that at 11 o'clock, if they stop the actual, you know, work part of the you know, the committee, then they'll have like a 15-minute break that usually turns into a half an hour, or they might run over. But just so you don't like think like you're ready to go talk at 9:15, you're gonna have to, you know, sit around there for a couple hours and listen. But anyways, just so you're aware of that.
Yeah, can you tell me, is this going to be filmed at all? Is it going to be live?
Yeah, so actually there probably will be some news media there. And they actually have a house, so it's a New Hampshire house live stream on YouTube. They actually have their own YouTube channel, and they have a pretty good camera set up. They have good microphones. I think they do hard copy recording. I see like there's like a camera set up. There's like a whole like IT department you know, in that state house that actually seems to do a relatively good job, best I can tell. So you can watch it right on YouTube, and they live stream all these, you know, committees. Sometimes there's multiple live streams on the House, the New Hampshire House YouTube channel all at once.
Exactly, and I know I've seen them before, but the thing that's important is that when you go to these hearings, you want to make sure that you can hear everyone and that everyone can hear you, because I've noticed, not in those hearings, but other hearings, you can't hardly hear someone, or it's, you know,
yeah,
what I mean?
Yeah, they have microphones, but sometimes you do have to, like, project your voice and stuff. Well, it'd be great for you guys to show up, and I'll try to connect you with Dave Ridley.
The most important thing about this hearing is you need to put yourself under oath. Hmm. It's real simple. You just raise your right hand and say, I, Jay Noon, solemnly swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, so help me, Great Spirit, or God, or just, you don't even have to say so help me God or anything like that. You just swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth. Hmm. It is very important that it's under oath. These guys, the establishment, Republicans and Democrats that have become parasites that are addicted to the crack cocaine called federal money from the Social Security Administration, that is, you know, tons of it comes out of DCYF and Family Court because of the, you know, because of the Child Safe and Families Act of 1997 that was, you know, ushered in by Jeffrey Epstein's frequent flyer, good buddy, Billy Clinton, in 1996 or 97, gives tons of money to the states for, based on the performance of DCYF doing assessments and all this stuff. They do not. They are so worried that their golden egg-laying goose is going to be shut down because it's operating without law. It's operating without due process. And now we're finally having people testify under oath. And this is why they kicked like Sherman Packard, who's a establishment thug Republican, Speaker of the House in New Hampshire, who is committing maladministration. You go to my website, jnoon.com. And you will see there's an affidavit of maladministration of Sherman Packard. I think it's the fourth button down, right on my website there. You should read that affidavit from Chris Noyes. There should be one available publicly on a JOT form very soon, because this guy needs to be dealt with. But it's very important to put yourself under oath at this hearing, and I hope everybody does.
Oh, they kicked Leah Cushman off for suggesting that people should be under oath, and yep. I think that's pretty telling. It's like, we don't want people telling the truth here.
Right, so because what they want to do is what they've been doing right along, is just putting the, you know, the dirt under the carpet. They are not, you know, nothing is happening. They have, you know, there's these complaints that have been going on and on and on. And basically what they've been doing is they've been buying the silence of the victims by settling massive lawsuits.
Terrible, really sad.
Just internet search, New Hampshire DCYF settlements. They've been, hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent. The Sununu Rape Center is, you know, is another big thing that's costing the taxpayers hundreds of millions of dollars. And
what did you say, Mark?
And what is that?
The Sununu Detention Center, I think, is the full name. And there were, I think, over 100 people that came out.
150 people have come out, said that they were raped multiple times. They were beaten.
They're not allowed to talk about it now because they got given, like, laughable amounts of money. It's a really sad thing. Oh, by the way, thanks for the call, Rob from New Hampshire.
So what they're doing is they're just the. And so basically, if this committee, which as far as I'm concerned, the committee to investigate DCYF has more than enough testimony under oath, which is actual evidence, to shut DCYF down, to shut Family Court down, and to shut Superior Court down and Circuit Court down based on just two people testifying, Andrew Noyes and another guy testifying what due process of law is. Mm-hmm. And there's also affidavits have been filed that have not been rebutted. And these guys are literally laughing. Like the Speaker of the House laughs at Leah Cushman and tells him that these affidavits from the people mean nothing. Yeah. And so these guys are clearly diabolically evil,
yeah,
or they're stupid. And I don't think that they're stupid. I think that they're evil and yeah, they lust for power. But anyways, this, and if after this committee does nothing and there is more liabilities ushered onto the people of New Hampshire because more children are injured, more families are injured, more people are trespassed on by DCYF and family court, and they're not using, they're not operating under due process of law, which
and
they
then,
never have.
The taxpayers ultimately pay those settlements
Correct.
Out, so that's why you're saying that it's a liability to the people.
Yeah, it would be really nice if the New Hampshire Division of Risk Management, which is called Risk and Benefit, New Hampshire Division of Risk and Benefit, got massive, massive amounts of 93A requests, right to know requests, for how much money they have paid out for settlements having to do with DCYF and family court. Because the number is astounding. One state representative, one state representative told me, and he's supposed to be getting back to me with an actual solid data on this, which he's been really having a hard time coming up with. But he told me in the past decade, it's over $300 million have been essentially paid out just in New Hampshire alone due to the crimes of DCYF and family court.
And if you were a Democrat and you claim to care about, like, women, children, rights, and, you know, people not being raped, and you can listen to these testimonies and all you care about is kicking Leah Cushman off for saying that people should voluntarily, and not be forced to, but should voluntarily be under oath for this, obviously you're a sick freak. And it's so obvious to me that these people who support DCYF don't actually care about children and families and women and all the stuff that Democrats claim to care about. They care about the money that they get, and it's freakish the way that these people, the Democrats that were on the committee, in lockstep, they thought of a way, they got Leah Cushman kicked off so that way they could get in control of this committee. And one of them specifically said, we aren't going to bring any charges against anyone. What if somebody needs charges brought against them because they're doing stuff to basically human trafficking? That is human trafficking. And people like to throw that word around, like Sarah from New Mexico likes to call it human trafficking when a woman voluntarily sells her body for, you know, sex for money. But that's just watering down that word. An actual example of human trafficking is when these government freaks, the parasite class, these parasite people that in the gang called New Hampshire Division of Families, Youth, blah, 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 DCYF, go to someone's house and threaten them and illegally take their children from them and give it to a child abuser. It happens all the time. And I can't believe that these Democrats care more about money than actually investigating that.
Well, they care about their pensions. Mm-hmm. So, like, the judges care about their pensions. The prosecutors care about their pensions. Anyone who's worked in the judicial branch is getting a massive amount of their pension fund is being funded specifically by the performance of DCYF and family court. And this is under Social Security Administration Title 4D. Check it out. There is this guy, Jeffrey Younger. If you look up him on YouTube, Jeffrey Younger Child Support. He gets really into the Texas code on this, which is basically the same thing in New Hampshire, from what I understand. I haven't found it yet. That, like, child support awards, the family court is told in the statutes for how to make awards for child support is they are supposed to make the awards, which benefits family court getting the financial incentives from the federal government, not based on what's best for the children.
That's sickening.
Because for every dollar in child support paid, the judicial pension fund gets a 66% incentive of that money injected directly into it from the Social Security Administration, which makes every judge, every prosecutor, every lawyer, every beneficiary of the judicial pension fund compromised. So therefore, none of those guys, so no longer are they a court of record. The Constitution says the people have a right to a court of record. A court of record means that the judge has to be impartial. If a judge's pension fund is funded by this golden goose they call DCYF and its performances, then that judge is not impartial. So there's one element where there is no due process of law. And they're also using statutes. Statutes are not for the people. Statutes are to regulate government entities and government contractors. And due process of law is exclusively without statutes. And also, there must be an injured party. There must be a corpus delicti as part of due process of law. So they're not courts of record. And this is a very important thing. And these guys are scared that this is going to get shut down. This is why they kicked Leah off the committee.
Yeah.
And they don't want people under oath. So,
it is really freaking creepy to watch this happen for anybody that's actually paying attention, because I think that most people don't care about anything court related, justice related, until it affects them in their lives personally. And I'm not really
that's for sure.
I'm not talking down on people for that, because I was the same way. I never thought about police brutality. If somebody had asked me, oh, do we need cops? I probably would have been like, yeah, of course we do. There needs to be laws. I don't want to walk down the street and get killed. We need cops. And then cops were actually like infringing on my rights and being crazy to me. It was a really strange situation where I became like a constant target of them, and they were like coming up to me and saying, being like, hi Bonnie, and just like saying and weird things about my life, like that they learned through the grapevine, like, and I didn't even know who these cops were. It's a really freaking weird thing. I didn't think about, should there be cops, or, you know, is this a great way to do things, is my due process being trampled on, until it actually affected me. So the thing that people need to pay attention to is that these courts, if you end up in them, there is nothing constitutional about them, and there's nothing fair about them, and you're not going to actually find justice through them. And if you find out someone you know has been found guilty of something or other, don't automatically assume that they're a bad person or they did anything wrong at all. Even if they got found guilty, because they might have taken a plea deal to not to risk like their lives being destroyed, they might have sat in front of a jury and a bunch of idiots named the jury just wanted to go home to Christmas and whatever else they wanted to do, and they just said guilty. There's no such thing as actually fact-finding in court. It's the most ridiculous, unscientific crap I've ever witnessed in my life.
Right. Yeah, I was in the same trial.
Freeman's trial in the federal court, yeah.
Yeah, you spent a little more time than I did, but I probably saw 80% of it. And I got to say, at the end, I was just stunned. The jury found Ian guilty on 8 charges. One of them, the judge went back in and said, no, I don't think you had enough evidence for that, which is fascinating that a former prosecutor is going to go in and say
it's
unheard of.
Every lawyer has said it's absolutely unheard of that after a jury found Ian guilty of 8 charges, he set knocked one off, and now he only has 7 charges.
You know why the judge did that?
Why?
Because they get a knock against them when their judgment or something that they let go to the jury should have never went to the jury, should have been dismissed at appeal.
Yeah, but it's just so weird, because then he shouldn't have let it go to the jury. He should have knocked it off before. It's really freaking weird. Honestly, because of that, the whole trial should have been thrown out, and that's what Ian's lawyers put
agreed
in, but the judge said no, and one of the reasons he gave was that they were too late, even though they put it in right after he made that decision. It was crazy. It's all stacked against you. None of it makes any sense, and I just think in Ian's case, but also in the case of what Jay Noon is talking about, you just shouldn't expect that courts are actually out to find out what the truth is and what is right and do what's best for anyone. They're not. They're highly motivated by money and pension funds.
So I got a recommendation for some people that want to find out about what's really going on with the court system and a commerce system and the money system and a fractional reserve banking and all of this stuff. There's this guy, Brandon Joe Williams. So he has a website, onestupidf.com. And F has 3 other letters after it in the website that we can't say on the air. But onestupidf.com. +3letters.com is his website, and he's got some or Brandon Joe Williams, just listen to some of his YouTube interviews, some stuff. He really, really puts this together well, and he's giving it all away for free. He actually has a 39-day course that you can sign up for. It's for free, and every day you get a 45-minute video. I haven't listened to this course yet, but I have a handful of people that have done this course, and they're like, wow, this gives me a whole new perspective on how to deal with the government and how to deal with what's going on. And also, Bonnie, you brought up child trafficking. Well, when you have the Social Security Administration that is giving financial incentives to DCYF to do assessments on children, there's a money that's paid out to incarcerate children, to write up parents, or not incarcerate, but to take children away, take them into custody, they get a check from the federal government. To do an assessment, they get a check from the federal government. To put the kids into foster care, they get a check from the federal government. And then every time that they're, and then they go do multiple assessments. I was listening to this the other day to one family that I have. I can't believe the amount of people contacting me about the nonsense that's going on with them. And if you want to contact me, that's jay@jaynoone.com, jay@jaynoone.com. You can send me an email there. And I'm sorry if I'm going back to you. I don't look at my email every day, but the amount of, you know, incentivization of bad people to do bad things for money to keep their pensions afloat is incredible. And also to add insult to injury here, all the social workers have the ability to take a class. And this class is available through all states, have this particular class, how to maximize revenue for your local child protective service industrial complex.
How
municipal
could that be seen
corporation?
As anything other than child trafficking?
It is the definition of child trafficking, but trafficking means buying, selling, or trading. Mm-hmm. So if you are a Mexican coyote, mm-hmm, that is getting paid to smuggle children across the border, you are trafficking in children. Mm-hmm. If you are a social worker that is getting paid from the federal government, your agency is getting paid to do assessments. Assessments is where they go into the house. Oh, this one lady said that they did 28 assessments on her. They have 28 assessment reports that they did on this particular woman, and her family, and that is $6,600 each assessment, I think.
Oh my gosh!
According, you know, this schedule here, so it is absolutely incredible. And you, if we start looking at where DCYF, Child Protective Services, really, really went rogue and bad and started causing all kinds of havoc, and if we start looking at the lawsuits and where they start, I bet you we're going to come to this really starts with the Child Safe Adoption Act that was put in by a world-class pedophile named Bill Clinton, who has had multiple trips on the Lolita Express, is really good friends with another
pedophile, honestly.
And you know, Gates, and
well, I, as I understand, Bill Clinton's flights on the Lolita Express didn't occur until after his presidency. Not that it particularly matters, and I would also suggest that the people who were prostituting on that flight would have been considered adults in pretty much any culture up until the year.
Yeah, a bunch of them were 16 and 18-year-olds who wanted to be rich, and I really don't consider that half as bad. The thing is, like, people are up in arms about that. Why aren't you up in arms about what Jay is talking about as far as DCYF? Not you, Mark, but the people who are up in arms saying that Jeffrey Epstein is a rapist for the stuff that's come out about him saying to, like, a 17-year-old, you're pretty, you want to be a model? Come live in this apartment I'm giving you you don't have to pay, and live in a luxury apartment, and I'll give you my contacts, and sometimes you can have sex with me or whatever. That sounds pretty normal to me. Honestly, not even immoral in any way, but there are some other things that came out that seem immoral, but the majority of it is not half as bad as these... what's it called? Social workers going to people's houses to look for... you didn't take out your trash today.
Oh, there was Cheerios on the floor. There was dirty dishes in the sink. We found an ant. We found this bug. There was outdated, you know, thing of yogurt in the refrigerator. I had yogurt that was 3 years old that I got from my pigs, and I was still feeding it to the pigs, and it was fine. It wasn't even refrigerated.
These are the excuses that, like, a social worker will use to take people's kids away, or if, like, your neighbor is told on you for your kids playing on the driveway.
And there's financial incentive to do it. Mm-hmm. This is the classic definition of child trafficking, and the federal government, the Social Security Administration, and it's not even a federal government, it's a federal corporation, whatever it is. And these whole bunch of actors. And the other thing, too, is I did a right-to-know request to the Health and Human Services director for his oath of office, for the oath of office of the director I did it to the director of DCYF, not HHS, for his oath of office He's since resigned because these DCYF directors are resigning constantly because it, you know, it's just such a mess. And also for the oath of office of Melissa Coombs, the social worker who committed perjury multiple times,
and
which I have
came to your house
of.
To try to go into your house and interview your kids.
And yeah, and she's, you know, one of the last people I'd ever let anywhere around my kids.
But it came back saying that they have not taken oaths, correct?
They have no oath of office. And I asked them for their insurance policy, their bonding information. They say they don't have a bond. And basically what they said to me is that the taxpayers, that New Hampshire has elected to self-insure. So when these settlements are paid, it doesn't come out of an insurance policy. It comes directly out of the general fund, which is the money gets in there by one way. The threat of being tortured or killed by somebody with a badge and a gun.
Well, before the show ends, I do want to say during Liberty Forum, Porkfest, Free State Projects event that they had, I mean, Free Talk Live helped to put on Alt Expo, and Jay, was your speech recorded there?
It was, but not a good recording, and only got about 2/3 of it before the camera shut off.
Oh no! Well, so Jay gave his speech there. I attended it. It was nice, and I also want to say that Free Talk Live threw a party on March 16th, which was the 3-year anniversary of the raid, and on our house that ended up with Ian going to jail and ended up with the Crypto Six all getting convictions and all of that stuff. And it was a great time, so it was great to go see your speech. It was great to see Mark in New Hampshire. He should move back. And he also made an appearance at my party, so that was nice because everybody loves Mark. It's been Free Talk Live. Thanks for listening. You can find more at freetalklive.com. You can go to jnoon.com. Is that why you find information?
Give me some crypto.
It's Free Talk Live. Peace.
If you want to move to the free state and you're looking for some real estate, well, I know a guy who's really great. It's the Realtor Mark Warden.
Now you can learn more about the awesome things happening here in New Hampshire in our march toward liberty in our lifetime. Our friends at Porcupine Real Estate are hosting a series of webinars to educate you on the expanded freedoms enjoyed by New Hampshire citizens. Reserve your seat today at move.freetalklive.com. Topics include gun freedom, medical freedom, and political freedom victories. They also have a couple on best practices for moving to the free state and finding housing. These webinars are super helpful and free to attend once you've registered at move.freetalklive.com. Visit their YouTube channel, Porcupine Real Estate, for videos from past presentations and sign up for upcoming webinars for free at move.freetalklive.com.
PorcupineRealEstate.com.